ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददादिं स्वपदान्दिगं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरुं श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदां सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिसिद्धान्त सरस्वती इति नामिने। श्रीवर्षभानवी देवी दयिताया कृपाब्धये कृष्णसम्बन्धविज्ञानं दायिते प्रभवे नमः। माधुर्योज्ज्वलप्रेमाग्नि श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिदा श्रीगौरकरुणाशक्ति विग्रहाय नमोऽस्तुते। नमस्ते गौरवाणी श्री मूर्तये दीनतारिणे रूपानुगविरुद्धापा सिद्धान्त द्वान्दहारिणे। नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद् वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्भोदे पदाम्बुजायते नमः। नमो भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपानुगवराय ते। गौराविर्भवभूमेस्त्वं निर्दोष्टा सज्जनप्रिया वैष्णवा सार्वभौमश्री जगन्नाथाय ते नमः। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामिं भक्तसात्विकम्। हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कांद राधा कांद नमोस्तुते। जयदं सुरदोपांगोर मम मंदमदेर्गति मल्सर्वस्य पदाम्बोजो राधा मदनमोहनौ। दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमादो श्रीमन्रत्नागरसिंहासनस्थौ श्री श्रीराधा श्रीलगोविन्ददेवौ प्रेष्टालिभि सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि। श्रीमन्रासरसारम्भि वंशीवटतटस्थिताः कर्षान्वेणुस्वनेर्गोपेर्गोपीनाथाश्रयेऽस्तु नः। तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुस्तुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खकौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायं अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि। जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वय ഇതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷു അഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൽ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മ ഹൃദയ ആദികവയെ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയാം തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മം പ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവം അത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താവത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമൽഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യപരുധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭിഃ ശുശ്രൂഷഭിഃ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവസയുധം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസിക ഭുവിഭാവുകാ നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യം നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേതം അപേതകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തൻ മയതയാതരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവം അഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം കമനീയകിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണു കുണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേർമധുരിം കണികാപി കാപി കാപി ശ്രീഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യം നമാം വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണോമഭീഷ്ണശാം യാസം ഹരികരോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ശ്രീഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമാം നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഹരി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവം ഗൗരവാണീ പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശതാരിണേ Due to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and due to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, we have got an opportunity once again to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, through Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is, as we all know, that is the essence of all the Vedic literature. In fact, much beyond the four purusharthas, what is mentioned in the shastras as the religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification and liberation. These four things, normally referred to as dharma, artha and kama, and the fourth one, which is referred to as moksha, is the four principles on which the human society is supposed to act. And this is mentioned by all the great sages, that the whole Vedic philosophy is based on these four principles of dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Dharmartha, kama, mokshadi. In fact, after these four, dharma, artha and kama and moksha, when the living entity is in a realization or in a state of mind, when he is still inquiring about the higher values of life, then he comes to Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is not meant for any other purpose except that go beyond these four bases of human life. Therefore, the ancestors or the great sages, they have mentioned that dharma as the basis of every activity in this world, that to begin with, human life has to be based on dharma or religious principles. And based on the religious principles of dharma, one can develop further into artha or economic development or even sense gratification, which is referred to as kama. So artha and kama, if it is based on dharma that is authorized, that is bona fide by the Vedic philosophy or Vedic culture, but any activity which is outside the spectrum of dharma is not acceptable to the Vedic standards or according to the Vedic culture. That means religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, all these three things, if properly executed, then at the end of the life, or when one is in a state of leaving the body, automatically the last item, namely the moksha, is guaranteed to that person by the Supreme Lord. This is how that system works, that when, just like we say in the material world also, sometimes when we have invested, say, 75% of a particular project, sometimes the government grants you a 25% from the government side, just like a subsidy. Similar to that, in this system also, dharma, artha and kama, if it is properly executed, based on the Vedic philosophy or on the Vedic principles, then the last 25% is given to that person automatically by the arrangement of Krishna. That is, the followers of the Vedic culture always accepted. And this is the system of Vedic system which existed for many, many thousands of years in this planet. So, in course of time, the Vedic philosophy and Vedic system has changed in this world. And due to the advancement of the age of Kali, people have come to understand that the first one has been left out, the dharma, and also the last item, moksha. So religiosity and liberation has been left out. Economic development and sense gratification took the prominence. And when these two things take the prominence, automatically there is chaos in the society. And that is what we find in most part of the world today, that all the disturbances and all the uneasiness and unhappiness is due to giving up the first and the last items of the agenda given to us by the Vedic philosophers or Supreme Lord Krishna himself. That the system is so well organized that dharma, artha, kama and moksha, if all the things are synchronized properly, then there could be peace in this world, and it is possible to execute one's spiritual life very peacefully in this world and go back home, back to Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of life. But because all those goals have been left out, and even the process have been left out, we seem to be in a chaotic situation. Anyway, the reason for mentioning this was that when we execute our spiritual activities in this world, there are so many impediments in this world which actually causes difficulties for us in our spiritual life. Like the three modes of material nature, which is very prominent in this world, particularly in the material world, these three modes of material nature are very, very, very strong. In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says that urdvam gacchandi sattvasta madhye tishtandi rajasa jaghanya gunavrittisto atho gacchandi tamasa. That only by a person, when one is able to differentiate between the mode of goodness, mode of passion and mode of ignorance very clearly in his own mind, he can see the differences between these three modes of material nature. Most of the people, just who are not aware of the modes of nature, they simply get carried away by the modes of nature all the time. In fact, every one of us are very much controlled by the three modes of material nature. And that we can also, it is very difficult to explain what exactly these three modes of material nature is. But the three modes of material nature is present everywhere, all the time, in some form or the other, either in its pure form or in its mixed form. Now, if one is intelligent, normally the great spiritual masters or great devotees also, to give example, they give so many examples to make one understand and realize that these modes of nature are present everywhere, and they are affecting our consciousness all the time in our day-to-day life. And when one is able to understand these modes of nature, and able to differentiate between the three modes of material nature, he can come to the control of the mind to some extent. And when the mind and is controlled, the senses are automatically controlled. And when the mind and senses are controlled, then he is able to execute the spiritual activities also very peacefully. So, to explain this, it is possible to give examples, but beyond that, it is difficult to explain what these three modes of material nature is. Satuganam, which is the mode of goodness, is normally present in the forest. Rajogunam, which is in the mode of passion, is normally present in the villages. And Tamogunam, which is the mode of the ignorance, is normally present in the cities. Now, because our present-day culture, or the times we are living in today, is mostly based on passion and ignorance, which we are experiencing every day, like we live in cities, which is mostly the presence of the ignorance. Quality of ignorance is very predominant in our day-to-day life. The activities of the people, and also the circumstances like the industry and all other associated activities, is generally promoting the mode of passion and ignorance. And although we have to live in these situations, still by discriminating properly and by developing the mode of goodness, it is possible still to make spiritual progress. And therefore, in the age of Kali, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended this process of chanting the holy name. Now, speaking about the mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance, all we can say is, just by an example, how if one is consciously watching his own mind, or consciously looking at his own mind, he can see the differences that is happening to his mind when he is going through different circumstances. An example I could think of is that when once we had to travel to Badrinath, to Badrinath, the temple where Supreme Uddhavaji is living there, worshipping the Supreme Lord, which is considered one of the most auspicious places, holy places in the Bharatvarsha. So we had to travel there, and when we thought about that, we were thinking the journey itself is a very tiring one, because traveling from Manchester to Delhi, and from Delhi to Haridwar, Haridwar to Rishikesh, and then go on further from there. But we could experience the changes that was happening in our own consciousness in this long journey. And this is the three modes of nature. If one is very careful, one can observe in one's own mind how things were changing. When we went to the airport and we had to stay in the lounge, waiting lounge for an hour or two, you could experience the finest quality of ignorance there, that people are addicted to so many activities which are not very congenial for spiritual life, namely alcohol, cigarettes and things like that. And the whole consciousness surrounding that moment, if you look at your own mind, you can see that how it was impacting on you, how it was showing an effect on your own consciousness. Immediately you can notice that. And having spent there an hour or two and then traveling by, the mode of ignorance, immediately you can detect that, pervading all through the consciousness, all through the atmosphere. And then if you watch your mind again, if you travel after the flight, you arrive in Delhi, and then you spend some time in the city, and then you look around, you see everyone is so much involved in their daily activities in so many different ways. And all that, you start wondering, where this is all going to? Where is this running around going to? But because the modes of nature, of the mode of passion is so strong, it is pushing the people to act in one way or the other. That peacefulness what you are looking for is not there. On the other hand, you are finding everyone so disturbed and practically running around in circles to do something or the other. Now, it may be for meeting the requirements of the body, someone has to work, but at the same time, so many other activities also, which are in the mode of passion, is always present there. But when you travel further from there, you have already seen how the mode of ignorance and how mode of passion has been hitting you all the time. But as soon as you arrive in Haridwar, and then you start your journey towards Rishikesh and further to Badrinath, you immediately see the changes happening to your own consciousness. As soon as you arrive close to Badrinath, immediately there is no anymore the mode of passion or ignorance affecting you. You can see that most of the influence is coming from the purity of the place and the influence of the holy dham of Lord Narayan. that immediately we feel the presence of the Satugunam there. So this Satugunam, which you are experiencing at that moment, is so much different than when you were experiencing the life in the city, in Delhi, or in Manchester, anywhere. So that change of mind, due to the external influences, is generally referred to as the three modes of material nature. So the three modes of material nature is continuously changing our consciousness in every time, in every second. So to escape from these three modes of material nature is only possible when we get our own control of the mind. And if we don't control the mind, external things are not going to change. They'll continue to exist as they are in different places, in different circumstances. But when we were at Badrinath, we have immediately recognized the forest, the Alaknanda River, Mandakini flowing there, and all the peaceful atmosphere immediately brings you to the mind why the sages went there to execute their spiritual activities. This was the real reason that the mode of goodness was actually helping them to develop further spiritually. And mode of passion, and in the Bhagavatam also it is said, we will see that later, Parthivo Dharano Bhuman. Parthiva means the wood, and the smoke and the fire, the three states of existence. It's a beautiful example of the three modes of material nature. We have got the firewood, which is considered to be the mode of ignorance, and then there is got the smoke, which is the mode of passion, and then later on comes the fire, which is the mode of goodness. So from the same thing, by purification, one goes further and further into the state of fire, and that is the mode of goodness. And once you enter into Lord Narayan's auspicious presence inside the temple, where the great devotees are chanting the Veda Suktas and glorifying Lord Narayan, Lord Narada Muni, and so many other great devotees together, immediately you experience the change, and that is considered to be transcendental, beyond the three modes of material nature. So there are the three modes of material nature, and beyond than the three modes of material nature is the Nirguna, or the Vishuddha Sattva Guna, or which is beyond the three modes of material nature, which is the presence of the Lord. So like this, there are classifications in this material world. We have to see that everything is controlled by the three modes of material nature. And unless and until one comes to this realization very strongly about the influence of the three modes of material nature, it is difficult for us, we get baffled and perplexed by the changing circumstances or changing environments. So having understood that, the three modes of material nature, to come to Srimad Bhagavatam, which says the great devotees have developed certain methods or processes whereby one can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is actually the greatest creation of that greatest of among all the sages, Vedavyasa Maharshi. Vedavyasa Maharshi, before he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, he also had to go through difficult times. Difficult times in the sense that to get inspiration to create a great literary work and to create the greatest of all the philosophies. Normally, we also know in the material world, when a person gets a particular state of life, he is in a mood to create better things. For example, we know that all the great poets, they create their great poetry work when they have when they are in a sad state, or when they are affected by the misery or sorrows of this world. Similarly, Vedavyasa Maharshi also, before he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, he was also experiencing a certain kind of lamentation in his own mind. And fortunately, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, came as the literary incarnation, he had been given that fortunate situation that he was being instructed by Narada Muni immediately. Narada Muni was present there to instruct Vedavyasa Maharshi on that particular subject at the time when he actually wanted. When we fall into situation in the mode of depression, we have to take shelter from Bhagavatam. Whereas Vedavyasa Maharshi, he was actually taking the shelter from Narada Muni. Narada Muni gave instructions to Vedavyasa Maharshi at that time when he was experiencing that moroseness or depression in his mind. So that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, when he wrote the first few verses, in fact in the first few verses, Vedavyasa Maharshi is actually giving us a glimpse of his state of mind at the time when he was going to write Srimad Bhagavatam. You will see that Nigamakalpatarur Galidam Phalam ശുകമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവസയുധം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാം. പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം, പിബത മീൻസ് കാരി ഓൺ ഡ്രിങ്കിംഗ്. ഡ്രിങ്കിംഗ് വാട്ട്? ഭാഗവത രസമാലയം, ദിസ് നെക്ടർ ഓഫ് ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം. വൈ ഈസ് ഇറ്റ് കൺസിഡർഡ് നെക്ടർ? ബിക്കോസ് ഭാഗവതം ഈസ് ആക്ച്വലി അണ്ടർസ്റ്റുഡ് ബൈ പീപ്പിൾ ഹു ആർ ബിയോണ്ട് ദ ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ. ആൻഡ് ഓൺലി വെൻ വൺ കംസ് ഇൻ ടു ദ മോഡ് ഓഫ് ഗുഡ്നെസ് പർട്ടിക്കുലർലി that one can understand what is spiritual life, what is spiritual activities. Pibada bhagavadam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvibhavuga. Only those people who are rasikas, they can enjoy Srimad Bhagavatam. So the first qualification, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, that to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to become a rasika. Rasika is the word he has used in Srimad Bhagavatam. പിബദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ആലയം. ആലയം മീൻസ് ഹൗസ് ഓർ ഇസ് എ പോട്ട്, പോട്ട് ഓഫ് രസം. രസം മീൻസ് ദ ടേസ്റ്റ് ഓർ നെക്ടേറിയൻ ടേസ്റ്റ്. രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാം. പ്ലീസ് ബി കം ആൻഡ് ഡ്രിങ്ക് ദിസ് നെക്ടർ ഓഫ് രസം ആൻഡ് രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാം. ഓൺലി ദെൻ യു ക്യാൻ ബിക്കം എ രസിക. So it is in the third verse itself in the Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi says that you become a rasika first of all to enjoy Srimad Bhagavatam. What we have to realize is if we are not enjoying Srimad Bhagavatam, the only reason for that is not the fault of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is our own fault. Because we are infected by the lower modes of material nature, we are not getting the taste of Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, this great literature which has been written 5,000 years ago by Vedavyasa Maharshi and which has been studied and studied and studied by the greatest of all the devotees cannot be something, and Vedavyasa Maharshi cannot tell a lie through his book being the incarnation of the Supreme Lord himself. So, Pibada Bhagavadam Rasamalayam Rasika Bhuvibhavugam. So, to enjoy this taste or nectarian taste of Srimad Bhagavadam, one has to become Rasika. And how do one become rasika? That is also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Before one becomes a rasika, what is rasa? Rasa means rasovai saha. In the Vedic literature, it is said that rasam, the taste of everything. There are different types of rasas. Shringara rasas, karuna rasa. There are different types of rasas which is classified in the shastras. So this particular rasa, which is referred to as Bhagavata rasam or Bhakti rasam, is Krishna himself. That Krishna is actually rasa. Rasovai saha, in the Vedic literature, it is referred to Krishna as taste. So, to enjoy, Krishna has to come and Krishna has to occupy within the heart of the person who is speaking, and Krishna has to also to occupy within the heart of the person who is listening. So, this is how it is explained in the Bhagavatam, that when the Supreme Lord comes and occupies the heart of the speaker, and when he occupies the heart of the listener, and Krishna himself being present there to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, at that point it comes to the stage that he will be able to enjoy Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise it is not possible to get the feel or experience Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the prerequisite or the precondition of enjoying Srimad Bhagavatam. The difficulty we have is because we have infected with lower modes of material nature and always tossed by the different conditions of life, we are not peaceful enough to understand. And therefore in the Bhagavatam it is said that while before beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam that we pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, that he comes to us, he comes and stays within our heart and gives us that experience of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because we are going to speak about Krishna, therefore Srimad Bhagavatam is mostly released by Krishna himself. All the...
John Prabhu, can you move this way because Guru Maharaj will be coming. Yeah. Sit here. So move this one just a little bit. Move you a little bit here. Sorry to move you.
When is the Maharaj coming?
When the Maharaj comes, you all stand up and greet him. I said we won't be outside.
Okay.
Because the class.
All right. Okay. So before we get into deeply into Srimad Bhagavatam, these fundamental issues regarding Srimad Bhagavatam, it's better to be understood, because that helps us to time and again remind ourselves that when we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, if we are not experiencing the happiness what one should get from Srimad Bhagavatam, it's purely due to that we were not able to approach Krishna, ask Krishna to help us to understand Bhagavatam. Nigamagalpadarorgalidam halam sukamukhatamrdadrava sayudam. When Sukadeva Goswami was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, for 7 days, Maharaj Parikshit did not require any food or a drink or even a little rest. From this you can understand that not because of death alone, Maharaj Parikshit was a Kshatriya, he was not afraid of death. What to speak about? He was not afraid of death while he was fighting in the battlefield, nor he was afraid of death to give up his body to be bitten by Takshaka. It is foolish to think that Maharaj Parikshit was afraid of a snake, Takshaka. No, he is not afraid of death. He is a Kshatriya. He is willing to fear. He is willing to approach death at any moment. That is a Kshatriya's life. But Maharaj Parikshit was afraid of something else, and that is what everyone should be afraid of, that one has to give up this body. What is my next life? That is what is more important. And Parikshit Maharaj was getting that total satisfaction while listening to Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami or Sri Shuka Brahmarshi at that point. And for 7 days he did not require, because spiritual master was so merciful to Maharaj Parikshit that he blessed him at that very moment itself, that Krishna will enter into your heart and give you that rasa from day one. So the first moment itself he got that rasa or taste for Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, the questions were continued to be asked by Maharaj Parikshit, and Sukadeva Goswami was able to reply them continuously throughout the 7 days. And even while many instances, Sukadeva Goswami is testing Maharaj Parikshit whether he has got really the genuine interest in listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, and Maharaj Parikshit won over all their problems without any difficulty. And that is also explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam at different instances. So, dharma projida kaida votra paramo nirmal saranam sadam vedyam vastavam atravastu shivadam tavatrayon mulanam. Why is Srimad Bhagavatam so important? Because, as we said before, that the three modes of material nature also causes three different types of miseries, namely adhyatmikam, adibhaudhikam and adidevikam. These three modes of material nature is actually causing us the three different kinds of miseries, adhyatmikam, adibhaudhikam and adidevikam. And because these miseries are affecting us every minute, dharmam projida kaita votra paramo nirmal saranam sadam vedyam vastavam atravastu shivadam tavatrayon mulanam srimal bhagavate mahamunikrade kimva parai ishvara sadyo hrade avarudhyadetra kridubhi shushroshubhi talkshanal. Why in that second verse Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying to Krishna himself that please come, avarudhyadetra kridubhi, please come and sit within my heart. Don't go away. Please stay within my heart. And also stay within the heart of those who are listening. Because if you stay within my heart, I can release you. I can understand you. And you be there to listen to me when I am speaking about you. Dharmam projida kaida votra paramo. Because Vedavyasa Maharshi, having written Mahabharata, he has already knew that in this material world, people have different types. Kalidasa says that bhinna rujir hi loga, that we all have different tastes in ourselves. We have different nature. By virtue of our association with the three modes, we all have developed different nature. And that cannot be changed. That is going to be there all the time. But what can happen is that by experiencing the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also in touch with the great sages, Our qualities will change. Our nature will automatically change. And that is why in the Bhagavatam it is said in the beginning, dharma projida kaida votra paramo. This dharma, what is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is meant for purification. It's meant for elevating a person's consciousness. Kaida votra paramo, automatically it has to be free from falsities and cheating. It has to be pure. Dharma projida kaida votra paramo nirmal saranam sadam. Nirmal saranam, one who is free from envy, one who is free from all other jealousy and all other lower base qualities. നിർമത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവം. വാട്ട് എവർ ഇസ് മെൻഷൻ ദ ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം ഈസ് ദി ആബ്സലൂട്ട് ട്രൂത്ത്. വാസ്തവം, വാസ്തവമാത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താവത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഓൾസോ മോസ്റ്റ് ഓസ്പീഷ്യസ് ടു എ പേഴ്സൺ ഹു ഇസ് ലിസണിംഗ് ടു ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം. വൈ താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം? ഇറ്റ് ക്യാൻ റിലീവ് വൺ ഫ്രം ദി ത്രീ മിസറീസ് ഓഫ് ആധ്യാത്മികം, ആദിഭൗതികം ആൻഡ് ആദിദേവികം. താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമത്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈ ഈശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദി അവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതുഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ. ഭാഗവതം സേസ് ദാറ്റ് as soon as Krishna comes to our heart, to the speaker as well as to the listener, as soon as he occupies our heart, shushrushubhi talkshanal, immediately at that very moment, talkshanal, automatically at the very moment itself, once Krishna comes into the heart, immediately all the other inauspicious qualities goes away. So to bring Krishna to the heart, also it is a very difficult process, because it is so dirty inside. Krishna is not very much looking forward to come to our hearts. I don't think that Krishna is so pleased with our consciousness, the way we are today, that the Supreme Lord will come and occupy within our heart. Therefore, the chanting process is necessary. Continuously by chanting, we are purifying ourselves, we are purifying our heart, and then we are in a position to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why Bhagavatam is always goes for the Vaishnavas. ശ്രീമത് ഭാഗവതം പുരാണമമലം യദ് വൈഷ്ണവാനം പ്രിയം യസ്മിൻ പാരമഹംസ്യമേകമമലം ജ്ഞാനം പരം ഗീയതേ. ഇൻ ദ 12th കാന്റോ, ഇൻ ദ 12th ചാപ്റ്റർ, ദർ ഈസ് എ ഡിസ്ക്രിപ്ഷൻ ഓഫ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് ശ്രീമത് ഭാഗവതം. ഇറ്റ് സേസ് ദർ ശ്രീമത് ഭാഗവതം പുരാണമമലം യദ് വൈഷ്ണവാനം പ്രിയം യസ്മിൻ പാരമഹംസ്യമേകമമലം ജ്ഞാനം പരം ഗീയതേ. തത്ര ജ്ഞാന വിരാഗ ഭക്തി സഹിതം നൈഷ്കർമ്മ്യമാവിഷ്കൃതം യത് ശൃണ്വൻ വിപടൻ വിചാരണ പരോ ഭക്ത്യാ വിമുച്ചേർന്നരാ. ഭാഗവതം സേസ് ദാറ്റ് ദ വേ ഭാഗവതം അഫക്ട്സ് എ പേഴ്സൺസ് ലൈഫ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ശ്രീമത് ഭാഗവതം പുരാണമമലം എമംഗ് ഓൾ ദ പുരാണസ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് എ മോസ്റ്റ് പ്യൂറസ്റ്റ് ഓഫ് ഓൾ ദ പുരാണസ്. പുരാണസ് ആർ ഓൾസോ ക്ലാസിഫൈഡ് ബേസ്ഡ് ഓൺ ദ ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ, സാത്വിക പുരാണം, രാജസ പുരാണം ആൻഡ് താമസിക് പുരാണം. ആൻഡ് ഔട്ട് ഓഫ് ദ 18 പുരാണസ്, 6 പുരാണസ് ആർ കൺസിഡേർഡ് ടു ബി സാത്വികം, 6 ആർ കൺസിഡേർഡ് ടു ബി രാജസം, ആൻഡ് 6 പുരാണസ് ആർ കൺസിഡേർഡ് ടു ബി താമസം. സോ എമംഗ് ദി 18 പുരാണസ്, ഓൾദോ ദി അതർ പുരാണസ് ഹാവ് സ്ലൈറ്റ് ഇൻഫ്ലുവൻസസ് ഓഫ് ദി മോഡ് ഓഫ് പാഷൻ ആൻഡ് ഇഗ്നോറൻസ്, ദ മോഡ് ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം ഈസ് എമംഗ് ദി ക്ലാസിഫൈഡ് എമംഗ് ദി സാത്വിക പുരാണസ്, ആൻഡ് ദെയർഫോർ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് വെരി പ്ലീസിംഗ് ടു ദി വൈഷ്ണവാസ്. ശ്രീമത് ഭാഗവതം പുരാണമമലം യത് വൈഷ്ണവാനാം പ്രിയം. ഫോർ വൈഷ്ണവാസ് ദിസ് ഈസ് ദ ഗ്രേറ്റസ്റ്റ് ഓഫ് ഓൾ ദ ലിറ്ററേച്ചർ വിച്ച് വൈഷ്ണവാസ് ലുക്കിംഗ് ഫോർവേഡ് ടു റീഡ് ഈ ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം. വൈ ശ്രീമത് ഭാഗവതം പുരാണമമലം എമംഗ് ഓൾ ദ പുരാണാസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് ദ മോസ്റ്റ് പ്യുർ വൺ. യത് വൈഷ്ണവാനാം പ്രിയം യസ്മിൻ പാരമഹംസ്യമേകമമലം ജ്ഞാനം പരം ഗീയതേ. എമംഗ് ഓൾ ദ പരമഹംസസ് they relish Bhagavatam, they do not study other literature. All the great paramahamsas, paramahamsas means one who has gone beyond the one who has gone beyond this material world, or who has reached close to Krishna, or who has developed themselves as the quality of a hamsa. Hamsa means the swan. The swan has this particular quality that it can separate milk from the water. If you give milk and water together in a bowl to the swan, it will able to remove the, it able to take the water out of it and only take the milk from that. That is the quality of swan. So similarly, in this material world, with everything so much mixed up, Paramahamsas are those people who are able to take only what is ultimately beneficial to the human society. And therefore, in the Bhagavatam it says, Srimal Bhagavatam Puranamamalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsamegamamalam Jnanam Param Giyate. Jai.
Jai Goranga Nitai Goranga Very bad.
Going to come for the next 6 weeks, Guru Maharaj?
Yes, very good. Actually, that is why I have gone. I actually came to see how many devotees are here, so that Notre Dame who is not here. And I shall mark them as sent in my diary. That I know, he told me. He came and he was said, that is different thing. Because he is to attend the meeting in manner. But otherwise, who are just sitting there in their homes and realizing visits. And it is Shanivar. And when Shani Devta attacks, then they cry. And then they come running to us. Maharaj, do something. Shani Devta, they say, yes, you made him angry. So now be ready for the punishment. But Shani Devta to har kisi ki chakri guma dete. हला देते हैं पूरा. जब शनि का ग्रह शुरू होता है कोई उसके ग्रह को रोकने वाला नहीं. There is no other देवी देवता who can stop शनि. Cleanse the whole thing. Punishes it. And this is only Bhagavatam. Okay, Shani Devta could die. Only Bhagavatam helps. So I am very happy that Bhagavatam class started, and started on Shanivar. When Shani hears the glories of Lord Krishna, he becomes happy. It is in their own benefit to come and hear. Yes, Panditji.
Hare Krishna. So, relishing Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, we hear these words. Srival Bhagavadam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsya Megamamalam Jnanam Param Giyade Yatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahidam Naishkarmya Mavishkrutam Yatprunvan Yatshrunvan Padan Vijarana Paro Bhaktya Vimuchir Naraha. Srimad Bhagavadam says that Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam, which is so dear to the devotees or to the Vaishnavas, Yasmin paramahamsya megamamalam jnanam param giyadem. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says that we have the, for the devotees, jnanam or knowledge comes when the devotion matures. Automatically the knowledge is given to the devotee by Krishna. There is no necessity for the devotee to look for, to study Vedanta philosophy like they have done, but only for one reason, that yasmin paramahamsya megamamalam jnanam param giyadem yatra jnana viraga bhakti sahidam. Jnanam and vairagyam, which is knowledge and renunciation, which are the part and parcel of the devotion, is comes to the devotee automatically. Tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahidam naishkarmyam avishkradam yat shrinvan vipadhan vicharana varo bhaktya vimuchyer naraha. That simply by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, automatically, jnanam and vairagyam comes to the person. He doesn't have to separately look for it. That is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. Naishkarmya mavishkritam, his activities becomes more and more pure, free from any material attachment. Naishkarmya mavishkritam tat shrinvan, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, vipathan, and by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, vicharana varo bhaktya vimuchyer naraha. And not only these two things, apart from hearing and studying, one also has to contemplate or mentally analyze in the mind continuously the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that will give them much and more. By finishing Srimad Bhagavatam, Sudha Goswami was speaking to Shanagrishi, and at that point he mentioned, Srimal Bhagavadam Puranamamalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyam Egamamalam Jnanam Param Giyade Tatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahidam Naishkarmyam Avishkardam Yasmin Yatshunvan Vibadhan Vicharana Paro Bhaktya Vimuchir Nara. The human being automatically become a bhakta or a devotee without any more effort, because in his mind he is constant, so much fixed on Krishna that he doesn't require any more external pressures. Bhagavadam can make a person a pure devotee, and that has been settled, that has been accepted by all the great personalities in the past. So we have, before we go into details of Srimad Bhagavadam, we will also look into the life of some of these great devotees who used Srimad Bhagavadam, and through Bhagavadam they reached Krishna. And their approach to Krishna was through Srimad Bhagavadam. And that is why it is said that there may be so many faults. Srimad Bhagavadam, while describing Srimad Bhagavadam, we are all likely to commit mistakes because we haven't got the full understanding even while speaking. For the speaker also do not know enough to talk about Srimad Bhagavadam. That requires got the full understanding even while speaking. For the speaker also do not know enough to talk about Srimad Bhagavadam. That requires a much more mature and understanding and help from Krishna. But Bhagavadam, while concluding Srimad Bhagavadam, Sudha Goswami mentioned to Shaunak Rishi in one particular verse that even if there are faults, it should not be taken into account, because intentions are pure, and because it is glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it should not be taken seriously. Savag visargo janathaga samplavo yasmin pradishlogam abhadavatyavi namani anandasya yashongidani yashrunandi gayandi grinandi sadhavaha. That Bhagavadam says that savag visargo janathaga samplavo yasmin pradishlogam abhadavatyavi. That there could be so many abhadhas, so many mistakes while speaking Srimad Bhagavadam. It can happen. It cannot be avoided because of our own position in this material world, that we are being influenced every time. Yasmin pradishlogam abadhavatyavi namani anandasya yashongidani yal shrunvandi gayandi grinandi sadhavaha. That this namani, that means the many holy names of Krishna, Krishna's beautiful names, when it is continuously chanted and continuously heard by the devotees, all those inauspiciousness is totally driven away from our consciousness and we are purified automatically. So that is guaranteed by Sudha Goswami, and therefore those who are following Srimad Bhagavatam also has to understand that with all our imperfections within ourselves, we still can go further in spiritual path by associating with Srimad Bhagavatam and the devotees. And that is why Bhagavatam says that Naishkarmyam apyachuda bhava varjidam nashobhade jnanamalam niranjanam kudapuna shashvadabhadram ishware naharpidam karma yadapyanuttamam. Srimad Bhagavatam, Naishkarmyam apyachuda bhava varjidam. Bhagavatam says that if there is no Krishna in your activities, that is all useless. That has no value. Naishkarmyam apyachuda bhava varjidam. Achuda bhavam, that means everything related to Krishna. That is the right attitude of a living entity. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna, we cannot separate ourselves from Krishna. We have always a dependence on Krishna. No matter how hard we try and try to declare our independence, we cannot be independent. Our relationship with Krishna, when it is matures properly, that is the most sublime situation. Naishkarmyam api achyudabhava varjidam nashobhade jnanamalam niranjanam kudapuna shashvadabhadrameshware naharpidam karma yadapyanuttamam. Bhagavatam says that even if you perform naishkarmya without any attachment to the material world, if it is free from achyuta bhavam or without any relationship with achyuta or Krishna, then that relationship is no use. Their activities are also no use. Nashobhade, it will not shine, it will not have any value in this world. Jnanamalam niranjanam, it is without knowledge we are performing that activity. Nanashobhade jnanamalam niranjanam kudapuna shashvadabhadrameshwareyam. What to speak about other activities which are performed with attachment and which so much of sense gratification involve. What can you imagine the result of such activities? So Bhagavatam actually opens up our eyes. It opens us our eyes in such a way to make us understand that our activities has to be linked to Krishna. If it is not linked to Krishna, it is going to cause problems. And that is why the warning was given that to all the devotees who are going to take Srimad Bhagavatam, Naishkaramyamavi Achyudabhava Varjidam Na Shobhade Jnanamalam Niranjanam Kudapuna Shashvadabhadramishvare Nahyarpidam Karmayadapyanottamam. If it is not offered to Krishna, all the activities of our mind, body and senses which was given to us by Krishna, if it is not offered for Krishna's service, it is going to be ultimately a defeat. And that is a warning given in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 12th canto, in the 12th chapter itself. Therefore, all these great personalities or the great acharyas, they have taken shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam from their early life itself. They didn't need to be taught because after all they were great personalities. And in their understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam, also they always remember Bhave Bhave Yadha Bhakti Padayo Stava Jayade Tada Kurushvadevesha Nathastvam No Yada Prabho. In the concluding verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, the last two verses, it is mentioned, Bhave Bhave Yada Bhakti. Sudha Goswami and Shaunak Rishi, they were not praying for liberation. They did not ask for liberation. In fact, after listening to the 18,000 verses, anybody would have thought that they were also looking for liberation. No, they were not looking for liberation. Bhave Bhave Yada Bhakti Padayo Stava Jayate. They are addressing to Krishna, they were saying, give us bhakti. Because if we have devotion, if we have bhakti to Krishna, we don't need anything else in this world. Bhave Bhave Yadha Bhakti. Birth after birth, let this happen, that we remember your lotus feet. When Krishna left this material world and went back to this abode, went back to the spiritual world, Uddhava prayed the same thing. Bhave Bhave Yadha Bhakti Padayo Stava Jayate. To your lotus feet, we must have devotion. That is the only thing we pray to you. We have no other desire. Tada kurushvadevesha nathastvam no yada prabho. We don't need anything else because we know the value of everything else in this world. It is only going to bring us disappointment and unhappiness. But if we have devotion to Krishna's lotus feet, that will stay forever. Nama sangirtanam yasya sarva bhava pranashanam pranamo dukkashamanam stammamamim harim param. The last verse in the 12th canto, while concluding Srimad Bhagavatam, it is says, Nama Sangirtanam Yasya, always chanting the holy names of Krishna, that can keep us away from sinful reactions of life. Not only the sinful reactions, the very fact that we have a material body shows that we had sinful activities behind us. And because there were sinful activities performed in the past lives, this is the product of that. This is the result of those sinful activities which were performed in the past life. Nama sangirtanam yasya sarva bhava pranashanam pranamo dukkashamanam stam namami harim param. That to remove us, to take us out of this awkward situation, pranamo dukkashamanam, and also to completely eradicate that reactions of the sinful activities, tam namami harim param. We pay our respectful obeisances to Krishna to take us out of this particular unfortunate situation. So Srimad Bhagavatam, at different instances, it explains the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam in this way, that one can understand that as one takes seriously Srimad Bhagavatam to the heart and studies Srimad Bhagavatam thoroughly, he will automatically make that progress what is required and in the spiritual life. And therefore, this has been the wealth. Bhagavatam has been the wealth of all the great devotees. And many, many great acharyas who commented on Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly most popular among them was the Sridhara Swami's commentary. Sridharacharya Swamiji, who spent many of his years in Benares, has explained Srimad Bhagavatam in the most elegant way, and anybody could accept his authority. Whatever sampradaya one belongs to, whether it belongs to the Shankara sampradaya or Vaishnava sampradaya, all sampradayas, they accept Sridhara Swami's commentary as most authoritative. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always took Sridhara Swami as the purest of all the devotees. And going back to Sridhara Swami's life also, it is said by great devotees that Sridhara Swami was actually non different than Mujugunda. Mujugunda, we know in Srimad Bhagavatam that when Mujugunda was liberated after his war in the heavenly planets, when we came back to this earthly world, and he spent some of his time in a cave while sleeping, and then Mujugunda, Krishna came through that, the Supreme Lord came through that cave where Mujugunda was sleeping, And Muchukunda, by at that time, Krishna's plan was to kill that Kalayamana, the demon, by Muchukunda. Kalayamana was killed by Muchukunda, and Muchukunda saw Krishna right in front of him. At that time, he paid his obeisances, and Krishna inquired about his welfare, and also blessed him that in his next life, he takes the birth of a Brahmana, and he'll be able to practice the Vedic culture to its purest form. This blessing was given by Krishna himself to Muchukunda. And many, many great devotees state that Muchukunda himself came as Sridhara Swami in his next life. And that is why Sridhara Swami is considered to be the greatest of the authorities on Srimad Bhagavatam. And while Sridhara Swami has written this commentary, he was also given the proper help and support from Shankaracharya at that point. And that is also explained in the Bhagavatam. Aham veti shuko veti vyaso veti cha narada Sridhara sagalam veti Sri Narasimha prasadadaha. That Sridhara Swami worshipped Narasimhadev. Narasimha Murti was his most favorite form which he worshipped. Why Narasimha Murti he has worshipped? Because he has a special attachment, he followed the path of Prahlad. Prahlad Maharaj was his greatest example. So, following the footsteps of Prahlad, Lord Narasimhadev was worshipped by Sridhara Swami in many instances. It is also clearly shown in the Srimad Bhagavatam of his special attachment to Narasimhadev's lotus feet. So, while this was going on, Aham veti shuko veti vyaso veti cha narada Sridhara sagalam veti Sri Narasimha prasadadaha. While Sri Shankaracharya Swamiji was travelling, in Benares, he happened to meet Sridhara Swami. And why, before he arrived in Benares, Shankaracharya had a discussion with Lord Shiva about writing the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Shiva mentioned to Shankaracharya that job of writing commentary, there is only one person who is qualified, who knows the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is Sridhara. Go to Sridhara Swami. He is living in Benares. There is a famous temple in Benares called Bindumadhava temple. In that Bindumadhava nearby, Sridhara Swami lived there. Shankaracharya approached him and requested him to write this famous commentary, which is known as Sridhariyam or Bhavartha Deepika. And that commentary was written. So, Aham Veti Shuko Veti, while giving this blessing to Shankaracharya and to Sridhara Swami, Lord Shiva said, I understand. Aham veti, shugo veti, Sukadeva Goswami or Sri Shuka Brahmarshi, he understands the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyaso veti cha narada, Vyasadeva, Vedavyasa Maharshi understands Srimad Bhagavatam. Cha narada, also Narada Muni. Aham veti, shugo veti, Vyaso veti cha narada, but Sridhara sagalam veti, Sridhara Swami understands everything about Bhagavatam. We all understand Bhagavatam to some extent. But Sridhara Swami understands the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam. Aham veti shugo veti vyaso veti cha narada Sridhara sagalam veti Sri Narasimha prasadadaha. Why Sridhara Swami understands? Because Sridhara Swami has been given the blessing by Lord Narasimhadev. Lord Narasimhadev has blessed Sridhara Swami in such a way that he will be able to write this famous commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Narasimha prasadadaham. In Bindumadhava temple, near Bindumadhava temple, when Sridhara Swami lived there were many, many other commentaries existing at that time on Srimad Bhagavatam. All these commentaries were discussed by the great scholars of Benares. Benares was always the center of learning in India throughout all the time in the history. And always the scholars of Benares, they discussed and they approved. It was accepted by all the great authorities at that time. So, while this was going on in Benares, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also went to Benares to discuss the philosophy. And all the great philosophers, all the great acharyas used to go to Benares to discuss their philosophy or to present their philosophy, their commentaries on Vedic literature. So, similarly, Sridhara Swami, at a young age, he left home. Fortunately, he had a birth in a very nice family. And he, although as a householder, he had his children also who were very well educated in the Vedic tradition. So they all arrived in Benares, and Sridhara Swami also wrote his commentary under instructions from Shankaracharya. But although he wrote this commentary, it was not accepted by many other great devotees or so many other great acharyas who lived in Benares at that time. And it happened, it seems from the history, that one day it was discussed and agreed between all the great acharyas that they should present all the commentaries written by all the acharyas of Bhagavatam to Bindamadhava, the Madhava, present in Banaras, and request him to decide which of the commentary is bona fide or authoritative or properly present Krishna consciousness. And in that presentation, they have kept all the Bhagavatam inside and closed the door of the deity room and came out. And when the next day they opened the door, only Sridhara Swami's commentary was in the room. All other commentaries have gone. They were not there in the room anymore. This is mentioned about Sridhara Swami's life. And that day they accepted Sridhara Swami's commentary as the most bona fide commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sridhara Swami's commentary from then on has become the commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam, which was accepted by Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka Swami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everybody. All the great authorities in Vedic tradition has accepted Sridhara Swami's commentary as the most bona fide commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam. Not only that, he was blessed by Lord Shiva and Shankaracharya and others, he was also the same personality who was blessed by Krishna himself in his previous birth as Muchukunda. So we hear like this, that Srimad Bhagavatam has to be heard from the devotees like Sridhara Swami. If we hear from so many commentaries, like Srimad Bhagavad Gita also had so many commentaries written on Srimad Bhagavatam also, but not all follow the path of Sridhara Swami. There are sometimes different opinions and different viewpoints from authorities. But anyway, Prabhupada also taken Sridhara Swami's commentary as the bona fide commentary, and in his early days, before Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada commented in English, Prabhupada used Srimad Bhagavatam commentary from Sridhara Swami while lecturing in his early days in the States. So, in the Bhagavatam, you'll find that in the sixth canto, King Chitrakedu had to go back to the spiritual world, being blessed by Narada Muni. So, the reason for that happened was that Chitrakedu's past life is mentioned in the sixth canto, how he was actually a devotee of the Lord, but he had unfortunate circumstances, he had to take different bodies. And eventually, after he was liberated and went back to the spiritual world, when he reached the spiritual world, he saw Anantashesha was lying there and Krishna was not present there. Only Anantashesha was there. And at that point, Adishesha Bhagavan, who is Lord Balaram, he instructed on the spiritual matters to Chitrakedu. Chitrakedu was a devotee, but his knowledge came from Adishesha. Adishesha Bhagavan given him the understanding of the creation, understanding of the Supreme Lord's different activities. Shabda Brahma Param Brahma Mamo Bhe Shashwati Tanum. That Anandashesha is saying to Chitrakedu that the Supreme Lord has got, in the Brahman manifestation also, he has got two forms. Shabda Brahma, Param Brahma, Mamo Bhe Shashwati Tanu. Shabda Brahmam and Parabrahmam. These are other two aspects of Brahman. It is mentioned. And that Shabda Brahma is the holy name. That what we chant the holy name is nothing but the Shabda Brahma, the sound incarnation of the Supreme Lord. Shabda Brahma, Param Brahma, Mamo Bhe Shashwati Tanu. These are the eternal, which is never in any form, it never decreases. It always stays in these two forms. Shabda Brahma, Param Brahma, Mamo Bhe Shashwati Tanu. They are Shashwatam, they are eternal, they never changes. And this is instruction given by Anantashesha or Adishesha Bhagavan to Chitrakedu. When he arrived in the spiritual world after he has left this material world. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, there is references to Brahman at many instances. But all these instant things are actually meant ultimately to bring us back to the lotus feet of Krishna. Because Krishna is that Brahman himself, is not different. Aho bhagyam, nandagopa vrajogasam, yen mitram paramanandam, purnam brahma sanatanam. You will see in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, that while discussing about the glories of Krishna, aho bhagyam, the gopis were saying, nandagopa vrajaugasam, in Nandagopa's house, Nandamayrad's house, that boy who is playing in the courtyard of Nandamayrad's house, who is he? He is that Purna Brahmam himself. Aho bhagyam, nandagopa vrajaugasam, yen mitram paramanandam, Purnam Brahma Sanatanam. That Purna Brahmam has come here and he is Krishna and he is playing in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And Vilumangal also, when he said that I don't have to go for looking for Brahma. Let the Vedanti sit there and continuously meditate, aham brahmasmi, tatvamasi, all those different, prajnanamayam Brahma, all these different things, let them keep on repeating. The four Mahavakyas, as Shankaracharya has taught their disciples, but they are not required for me, Vilumangal said. Vilumangal said, I will go and watch, look for that boy who is playing in the courtyard of Krishna. That's enough for me, and that is the greatest thing I need. I don't need anything else. Aho bhagyam, nandagopa vrajaugasam, yen mitram paramanandam, purnam brahma sanatanam. He is purna brahmam, eternally purna brahmam he is, and he is here. Why do I have to go look for him somewhere else? This was, Vilumangal also repeated the same thing again and again. That in one instance, when Vilumangal was actually sitting, that place is still there. If you want to go and see on the banks of the river, Bharada River, there is a small village where he used to sit underneath a tree. And he used to enjoy Krishna's presence all the time underneath this tree. Krishna used to visit him as a little boy. His relationship with Krishna was, he was always a little boy, about 2 years old, 2 to 3 years in that age group. And Krishna in that age group, he was, and he used to come to Vilumangal, and he used to make, and tease him all the time. Swamiji, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Questioning him every time. So one day, Swamiji could not, Vilumangal could not stand this anymore, because Krishna was teasing him so much. He sat down after bathing in the river. Being a sannyasi, he also had to perform so many activities. He was supposed to, according to those days, Vedic tradition was so strong that they never deviated from their duties, from their activities, because most of them lived spiritual life. And one day he had to come out of the river, and he sat down after drying himself underneath this tree. And while sitting there, he has not performed, standing in the river, sannyasis offer tarpanam to the sun god, which he was supposed to do. He didn't do that. Because right in the middle of the river, this thought of this little boy came to him, and he came out of the river and dried himself and sat underneath the tree and started thinking. That was his ecstasy, what he was experiencing. So when he wrote Krishna Karanamrita, this thought started coming back to him. And immediately, the Sandhya Vandanam, because great sannyasis, when they perform such activities, they are all being observed and watched by the different demigods. Because it is these great souls that give life to them by their offerings. Sandhya Vandana Badramastu Bhavade Bhosnana Dubhyam Namo Bhodeva Pidarascha Darpana Vidau Naham Kshamakshamyadam Yatra Kvabi Nishiddhayadava Kulotam Sasya Kamsadvisham Smaram Smaramakam Haravimagalam Kanyena Manyenamim. That Sandhyavandanam Devi, that demigod, which is personified form of Sandhyavandanam, or the evening ceremony which sannyasis perform, and he came, and Snanadevada means that demigod who is personified in the form of bathing, that personified form. And all of them, and Pidrukal, that means the forefathers, their personified form, they all came up to Vilumangal Swamiji and told Vilumangal, why are you not executing your activities according to the spiritual, according to the Vedic injunctions? You are a sannyasi. You have not even fully properly bathed yourself, and you have not chanted any of the Gayatri, what you are supposed to chant. You are just sitting here and idling away your time. And first time, when Vilumangal Swamiji saw them, he thought that they have come to bless him, because that was his feeling. But when they started speaking like this, Swamiji, Vilumangal told them, Sandhyavandana Badramastu Bhavato, let all auspiciousness comes to you. He started blessing them. Instead of they blessing him, he started blessing them on the other way. It was just the reverse process that was happening. Sandhyavandana Badramastu Bhavato Bhosnana Tubhyam Namo Bhodeva Pidarascha Darpanavidau Naham Kshamakshamyadam. Please forgive me for my laziness or my indifference to you. I have not acted properly. I am aware of that. But please forgive me for that. This was the words, the way he addressed to the Snanadevada and to the Pidrukal and all the other demigods who arrived to see him. Sandhya Vandana Badram Mastu Bhavado Bho Snanadubhyam Namo Bodeva Pitarascha Tarpana Vidau Naham Kshama Kshamyadam. Yatra Kwabi. Then he explained to them the reason why he could not do that. Because Yatra kvabi nishidha yadava kulotam sasya kamsadvisham smaram smaramaham tadamihagilam manyekam anyenameem. The Supreme Lord, Krishna himself, has come and sitting in my lap. He is not going away. And he is sitting there and he is not allowing me to do anything. So exactly like Mother Yashoda was feeling at one time when Krishna sat in her lap and Yashoda could not continue with her routine work at home, how much she felt. And it was the same ecstasy that Vilumangal felt when Krishna came and sat in Vilumangal's lap. And he explained, Yashodamayi also was saying the same thing, that I cannot do any work at home because he is not letting me do anything. This was Yashodamayi's answer. And exactly the same answer Vilumangal gave to them, that I cannot do anything because he is not letting me do anything. He is sitting on my lap. And not only that, he was sitting on my lap, he was continuously chatting with Vilumangal. And such a relationship that Vilumangal had with Krishna, that all Krishna Karanamrita he devoted to discuss Krishna's childhood pastimes. These childhood pastimes were so dear to Vilumangal that he continuously discussed in the three cantos of Krishna Karanamrita purely about the childhood pastimes of Krishna. Because in all other incarnations, what we don't find, we find in this particular incarnation, not only incarnation, the Supreme Lord's personal, because in all other instances, Krishna came down. Even as Lord Ramachandra, when he came down, he did not give us that pleasure, what he gave us as Krishna. Because in Krishna's childhood pastimes, in the 10th canto, Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he was explaining, Sukadeva Goswami also, he said that, that this Bhagavatam is culminating in the 10th canto. Why is it culminating in the 10th canto? Because in the 10th canto, Krishna's beautiful childhood pastimes are discussed and described. And anybody who is actually trying to relieve from the material miseries, in the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam or the 10th canto also, it says that one who wants to escape from Mano Nirodham, that is the quality, Nirodham Mukti Rashraya, that Nirodham is the quality that one gets from by studying Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. What is that Nirodham? Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanamudaya manvandaram ishanukatha nirodho muktirashrayaha. Sargam visargam, it begins from there. From the third canto is describing the sargam quality or the primary creation of the Supreme Lord. Devotees are not feeling so much ecstatic about it. Atra sargo visargascha. In the fourth canto is describing the visargam, the secondary creation. I mean, in the third canto, when the sargam was described, that means how the Mahatvatvam, the Panja Tanmatras, and all the five material elements, all these were created. These are all discussed in the third canto. And in the fourth canto, Visargam is discussed. And in the Visargam aspect of the Supreme Lord's creation is that there are four examples given in the fourth canto. Chaturtha Skandham is actually referring to these four different types of people. That means in this material world, we find normally there are four classes of people. Women, children, young men, and the old people. And for teaching all these four different kinds of people, there are four different examples given in the fourth canto. To begin with, the fourth canto, there is the story of Sri Parvati Devi, as Sati Devi when she was at that time. She had to give up the body. And Daksha, her father, has acted in such a way that Sati Devi's example is very, very noble, the way she acted at that time. That she said to Lord Shiva, if I go for this festival at some time, when the matter was discussed in Kailas between Lord Shiva and Parvati Devi, Lord Shiva advised to Parvati Devi that you need not go for this festival of Dakshayaga or ceremony at Daksha's special festival which was happening at that time. And strangely enough, all the demigods and all the other living entities from the higher planets, they were traveling. And sitting in Kailas, Sri Parvati Devi could witness and see this activities of the other. And it was, being a woman, it was natural for her to think and being present in father's ceremony there at that time. And she was planning to do that. And while going at that time, there was a discussion between Lord Shiva. Jai.
Jai. Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki.
Jai.
Shri Radha Krishna Bhagwan Ki.
Jai.
Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana Ki.
Jai.
Srila Vyas Dev Ji Maharaj Ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Jai. Jai. So in that discussion between Sri Parvati Devi and Lord Shiva, this discussion so happened, and Lord Shiva first advised her that she did not go for this festival at her father's place, and the Triaga ceremony was going to happen. But Parvati Devi questioned many instances at that time, many incidences. And at one point, Parvati Devi told that, I may go for this, but if anything goes wrong at that point, and if something happens, then I will not like to maintain my material body anymore. And this was a shocking news. And Lord Shiva explains at that time, that why do you think that you have to do in such a way? And Sri Parvati Devi mentioned at that time, I am the daughter of Daksha. And if you will call me sometimes as Dakshayani, as the daughter of Daksha. And if an offense happened to you, you are the greatest of all. Lord Maheshwara or Lord Shiva is the greatest of all the Vaishnavas. And who else has understood better than Lord Shiva as of the Srimad Bhagavatam, not only Srimad Bhagavatam, among all the devotees, his position is so superior that such a Lord Shiva, if an offense is committed against him, I do not like to maintain a body given by such a person. So that was the type of realization of Sri Parvati Devi's position. That Sri Parvati Devi at that moment said to Lord Shiva, that if you ever were in the future, one day, if you call me as Dakshayani, that will be an insult for me, because I do not like to maintain this body which was given to me by Daksha. And keeping all this in mind, Parvati Devi went for the Dakshayaga, and then we know what the story after that, what happened. So, in addition, what we are saying is that the devotees, when they refer to Krishna, that when their relationship with Krishna, they cannot forget any of these previous activities of the devotees, how they have acted in different circumstances, and it does make us understand that Srimad Bhagavatam is actually referring to different instances and different cantos with the intention of teaching every devotee something new, what he has not realized in his life any time before. Anvaya Vidrekabhyam, it is said in the Bhagavatam. Some characters in Bhagavatam tells us that we should become like that. Vidrekabhyam, some characters in Bhagavatam tells us we should not become like that. So this is how Bhagavatam tells us. One group of people says us, we should become like them. And one group of people says us, we should not become like them. Prahlad Maharaj gives us the finest example that we should also follow his footsteps. And Lord Indra, who is just like one among us, who has got all the similar features like us, tells us every instance that we should not become like him. Because in so many instances you can see how he offended Krishna. And even after kicked by so many times, still he never seems to learn like us. And it's the same story happening all the time, day after day. Before the Govardhana Hill was lifted, he came to Krishna. Even while coming to him, he still wanted to show his position to Krishna. And Krishna taught him properly also in Gokul, how he instructed him, how to behave properly. This also came from Krishna. Still, he would not learn. He will continue his own foolish activities in many instances. But this is in no way means to be offensive to Devendra. Indra was still a superior personality compared to all us. And being a demigod, he also has a higher position. But these characters in the Bhagavatam actually teaches us that some of their experiences in their relationship with Krishna is sometimes very much interesting. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanamutaya. So, when we were talking about Visarga in the fourth canto, this life of Sri Parvati Devi is an example to all the women. That to understand in how to act in Krishna consciousness is a typical example. That is why the Shriyagam story was mentioned there. And then comes to the story of children. For children, Vedavyasa Maharshi put the incident of Dhruva Maharaj. Is there no other better example? At the age of 5 or 6, a child going to that determination to the forest, until and unless I see Krishna, I am not going to come back. Father and mother thought that he may come back after a few hours, he will cry there, weep and cry, make a few fuss, and then he will come back here. No, he was so determined. And that for the children, he gave the instruction through Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was the classical example that of Krishna consciousness for children. So, atra sargo visargascha, and visargam continues. And for the young men, the finest example is Prudhu Maharaj. Prudhu Maharaj's activities is the noblest of all the examples. That when Prudhu Maharaj, before the young men have the problem that in their youthhood because they are misguided easily by influenced by the three modes of nature, they have to be instructed properly. And therefore, immediately after Venan's story was mentioned, Tadha Achyutanindayaha, it says in the Bhagavatam that Vena Maharaj, who was a great king, no doubt about it, and he said that I don't believe in any of this Vedic culture, I don't believe in any of this worship of the Lord, I am the Lord myself, you worship me, and he is the one who actually began the atheistic philosophy, nobody else, it is Vena. Only difference is, current day atheists don't say to worship them, but Vena was a little bit more advanced, and he told them, no, worship me, nobody else. He very clearly gave instructions to the people at that time, Vena Maharaj. Now this Venan, the kind of activities he has performed, we will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He used to get tremendous pleasure when he was a child, when the other children were getting killed. He used to push them into the water and kill them. And when anybody asked him, Vena, why do you do this? Vena said, I enjoy that when they die like that. This was his answer. This was the type of person Vena was. And Vena, as soon as he became the king, all the saintly people at that time, they knew that the end has come. And how did they recognize that? Because Vena passed a resolution. And his resolution in his own way was actually meant to kill four things. That all the cows should be slaughtered. There is no need for the cows. Because Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, gets his strength from all this. It was very much similar to the story of Hiranyakashipu. That he gets the strength from the cows, the brahmanas, the Vedic sacrifices. So all these things should be stopped. And Krishna was tolerating all these things. He could tolerate all these things. But when at one day, when all the sages assembled in Vena's assembly, and they requested Vena to stop this activities of killing the cows and slaughtering the animals and also stopping the yajna sacrifices and also offending the brahmanas, Vena was not in a mood to listen to anything. So at that point, Vena spoke one word, and that one word was enough. That one of the sages who was present there in that assembly, he just said, I mean, have you gone that far? That was the question. That actually meant you have gone too far. Tadha Achyutanindaya. Bhagavatam says, that point Vena has turned Achyutaninda. Achyutaninda means often insulting Krishna. He spoke in such a way that he insulted Krishna, and he could not stand that anymore. So at that point, through that sage, the person who said, Vena was finished. That was the end of that story. So like this, for young people, they presented this story of Vena Maharaj's story, and then came the Supreme Lord himself as Pradha Maharaj. So from this Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand in different instances and different philosophies, everything presented to bring us back to Krishna. Atra sargo visargascha. And in Visargam, the last of all the incidences, which is referring to the most interesting story of Prajina Barhis. Prajina Barhis performed so many sacrifices. A materialistic person who is living in this world, who wants to accumulate wealth and who wants to show his Rajasa Buddhi, or Rajasa nature means that Praudhi. Praudhi means that to show off everything. I have got so much and I will acquire so much and I am controlling everything. I am this, I am that. That attitude, this is coming from Rajasa Buddhi. One who is in the mood of goodness, do not act in this particular way. Rajasa Buddhi brings out all these qualities. So with that Rajasa nature, he said that Prajina Varhis was performing so many sacrifices. Eventually Narada Maharshi, Narada Muni came and explained to him his real position. Prajina Varhis understood, and eventually he managed to get back into the spiritual world with the mercy of Narada Muni. So these four incidences in Srimad Bhagavatam, for the women, for the children, for the young men, and for the old people, or people who are too much attached to the materialistic way of life, Visargam is there. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanamudhaya. Sthanam is the next one, which is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam of 5th canto. Sthanam is that position whereby the Supreme Lord's actual position in this world is shown. That how everything emanates from him, how everything, he is the origin of everything. His sthanam, his actual position, is explained in the 5th canto. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanamudaya. And poshanam comes that by surrendering to the Supreme Lord, everything is cared for. We need not go to look for anything else. This is one particular aspect of creation that is mentioned in the 6th canto to two stories. That is one referring to the story of Ajamila, Ajamila story, and the other one is the Vritrasura story. That Atra Sargo Visargascha, both of them were born in demonic species. By birth itself, they got a birth in the demonic birth. But that didn't matter. That karma vasana, then Atra Sargo Visargaschastanam, Ajamila's birth was good. But unfortunately, association was bad. The association drove him to such a lower situation in life. But in spite of that, because of the Purva Vasana, Vasana Balal, Bhagavatam says Vasana. Vasana is the strongest thing in this life. That everything that we bring forth with us from our past life acts in this life in some form or the other. If we can fan that vasana, if it was a sadvasana or good vasana or good propensities, if it is properly fanned, that will elevate us further in the spiritual life. Atra sargo visargaschastanam poshanam udaya. Poshana means that quality which is from Supreme Lord, that He helps His devotee to get back into His original state, to His pure form. Ajamila story and Vritrasura story is actually referring to that. Sthanam poshanam udaya. Manvandaram Ishanukatha Nirodho Muktira Shrayaha. So again, Sargam Visargam Sthanam Poshanam. And then in the next canto, which is the seventh canto, is describing actually the glories, the mentions about the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Narasimhadev, that story is the story of Udi. Udi means Karma Vasana. Karma Vasana means that even though in the womb of Kayadhu, although born in for a demoniac father and mother, while being instructed by Narada Muni, he was able to absorb. Because the person who was instructed was such a great personality, that has actually stayed with him. It didn't go away. Karma Vasana. And that Karma Vasana, or the Vasana which he has acquired from Narada Muni within the womb, actually acted later date. Atra sargo visargaschastanam poshanam udaya manvandaram ishanukatha. Manvandaram is the next canto. And then ishanukatha nirodho muktirashrayam. Manvandaram, the different manvandaras, start from Swayambhava manvandaram and so many other manvandaras, and they are all described in the eighth canto. And then ishanukatha nirodho muktirashraya. Ishanukatha, the Supreme Lord Himself came as Lord Ramchandra, and the story of Ambarish Maharaj. These two stories are described in the ninth canto. And then, after the ninth cantos were discussed, then in the tenth canto, Vedavyasa Maharshi has used the word as Nirodham. Nirodham means Mano Nirodham. That means, in the human nature, we all have what we have brought with us from our past life. In the 11th canto, we will see a verse where it says, Logaye vivaya mishamadhya seva sarvatra chodana. That vivayam amisham madhya seva. These type of things is already very much existing within us. Because these activities were performed by us in our past lives. Even in the form of an animal, in different species of life, eating, sleeping, sex life, all these things existed. And because these activities are performed so many times in the past, they have stayed with us even in this life, even without anybody teaching us, that automatically that propensity start manifesting in us. It is a natural process. Because these are performed in the past life, this comes to us in this life as well, in some form or the other. And that is why that sinful activities does not require much encouragement. It happens very quickly, without any without any encouragement or provocation, it automatically happens to us because of these activities being performed in past life, in past bodies, whichever way we have done that. Loge vivaya amisham adhya sevam. Vivaya means attachment to the women. Amisham means eating meat. Madhya seva means alcohol. So all these things has come from the past life in some form or the other. We have performed that, and that is why that is still hovering on us, even in this body. It's not leaving us. So although we may try to get rid of them, it is still very difficult sometimes because of the past influences. So in this way, it affects us in this life also. So Bhagavatam says that sanam poshanam udaya manyandaram ishanukadha nirodho muktirashrayam. That mano nirodham, to get the control over the mind, and especially from lust, which is already affecting us so badly, to get out of this lusty situation, One has to take the shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the 11th canto talks about liberation or mukti, freedom from this and ashrayam. And eventually the 12th canto discusses Srimad Bhagavatam of the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna as the ultimate source. So in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam actually speaks about the different things, sargam, visargam, sthanam, poshanam, udi, manundaram, ishanivadha, nirodham, mukti, ashrayam. So this is basically the how the 12 cantos discusses in Srimad Bhagavatam the devotee's approach to the spiritual world. Now, before going that, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, various questions were raised by the devotees. And in this Srimad Bhagavatam, there are six questions, and prasnams it is referred to. That six questions were referring to actually, the first question was that prayenalpa yusha sabhyam, that in the age of Kali, everyone is actually influenced by the age of Kali. And his mind and intelligence is all fortunate, they have not got the fortune to use this material body for a higher purpose. That is what their misfortune is, that they got a material body, but they don't know how to use it. Manda sumanda madayo, manda bhagya hibadruda. And they are very unfortunate people as well, because they are not getting any proper information or knowledge from any right source. Manda, and in addition to all that, they are lazy as well. So therefore this question was there, the first question. Prayenalpa yusha sabhya, kalau asmin yuge jana, manda sumanda madayo, manda bhagya hivadrudaha. That what should one do in that situation? And that question is answered in that chapter itself. Munaya sadhu prashtoham bhavad bir ilogamangalam yatkrida krishna samprasno logat eralma samprasidadi. That a person who has accepted a material body in this world, in this age of Kali, he has only one hope if he wants to escape from that. Munaya sadhu prashtoham bhavad bir ilogamangalam. It has already been spoken for the benefit of the human society. Sadhu prashtoham, all the sadhus have discussed, and the munis, munaya sadhu prashtoham bhavad bir ilogamangalam yatkrida krishna samprasno yenalpa samprasidadi. If they discuss about Krishna, if they take Krishna consciousness seriously and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, that can relieve them from their unfortunate position. Nothing else will relieve them. All other programs for progress is going to fail. It's not going to succeed. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam says that any other process, what one plans for advancement in this world, will not work. It is confirmed. It's negated in the beginning itself by these verses. Munaya sadhu prashtoham bhavad bir logamangalam yatkrida krishna samprasno yenatma samprasidadi. If you want actually that the living entity to become happy, and if you want to feel happiness from spiritual life, peacefulness to come to the living entity, it has to approach, take to this Krishna consciousness process. That is what is mentioned in those verses. Munaya sadhu prashtoham bhavad bir logamangalam yatkrida krishna samprasno yenatma samprasidadi. And the next word, savaivam samparo dharmam yado bhaktirathokshaje ahaituke apra. Munaya sadhu prashtoham bhavad bir logamangalam yatkrida krishna samprasno yenatma samprasidadi. And the next word, savaivam samparo dharmam yado bhaktirathokshaje ahaituke apradihada yenatma samprasidadi. Savaivam samparo dharmam, among all the religious processes, what is discussed in this world, this is the perfect religious process. Jai. Savaivam samparo dharmam yado bhaktirathokshaje ahaituki apradihada yena alma samprasitadi. That without taking to the process of Krishna consciousness, it is not possible to attain perfection in spiritual life. That is what is mentioned. Ahai tukiya pradihadam. It is apradihadam. It has no impediments. It is continuous process. Once we enter into the process of bhakti, there is no going back from bhakti process. That is the beauty of bhakti. If jnanam and karma, they are all very dangerous processes, and everyone is not qualified for those processes. We don't say that they do not take us back to the spiritual world. Jnanam process is bona fide. It is one of the processes Krishna describes in detail in Bhagavad Gita also. Similarly, the process of karma. But the beauty of bhakti is that when one gets into the bhakti process, there is no more going back from that. It is such a perfect process, and that is what is meant actually for this age of Kali. There is no other age. It has been glorified except for this bhakti process. Kali Yuga would have been the most hellish time to live in. Soyam, therefore in the Bhagavatam say, Soyam kaleya kalo jayadi maribo yatra sangeetanadye nidyatne reva margai ahiladana jiral tulprasadam bhajande. That simply by, in the age of Kali, yatra sangeetanadye, simplify glorifying Krishna through sangeetana process, one can immediately develop that attachment to Krishna's lotus feet. It is possible to do that. That is why it is said here that Savai Pumsam Paryo Dharmam Yado Bhaktir Athokshaje. Bhakti towards Athokshaja, Krishna. Yado Bhaktir Athokshaje Ahai Tuki Apradihada Yena Alma Samprasidadi. That if one develops that bhakti towards Krishna's lotus feet, Yena Alma Samprasidadi, the result is that there is no more hankering and no more lamentation for anything else. Exactly what is said in the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna said to Arjuna, it is the same thing. That it is repeated here, that for the person who is infected by age of Kali and who wants to alleviate the miseries of this Kali Yuga and go back to spiritual world, for him these two verses are the answer. Munaya sadabrishto aham bhavat barloka mangalam yatkrida krishna samprashno yenatma samprasidadi savaivum saparo dharmam yatho bhaktiradhokshaje ahai dugeya pradihada yenatma samprasidadi. So the first question which was raised in the Srimad Bhagavatam by the sages was answered within these two verses. And then after that, the next question came, that what was the benefit of Krishna's descending to this world? Sri Krishna Avataram, or Krishna's coming down to this world, what was the benefit from that? This question was raised as the second question out of the six questions which were raised by the sages, and which is answered throughout Srimad Bhagavatam in different places, in different ways. But some of the questions were answered on the very spot itself, but some questions were distributed and answered in so many other different cantos. So the second question was, what was the benefit that we derived by Krishna's coming down to this world? And the answer for that, so many devotees have given by quoting different verses. But Sridhara Swami says that while discussing on the Kunti's prayers to Krishna, Sridhara Swami quotes this verse and mentions, Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karmabhi shravana smaranarhani karishyanyidigechanam. That bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karmabhi due to avidya. That means fruitive activities or attachment to the material activities due to ignorance. This is what is performed by the living entity. And when living entity is in that situation, and that is a speciality of Kali Yuga, that we have so much attachment to the result of our activities. And this only happens in Kali Yuga compared to many other ages. Abhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karmabhi. Due to that avidya, that so deeper ignorance in our own consciousness, kama karmabhi shravana smaranarhani karishya nidikechanam. But we can get out of that ignorance, or that kama karma bhi shravana smaranarhani, simply by hearing and glorifying. Shravana means hearing and smarana means remembering. Karishya nidikechanam. That simply by hearing and remembering Krishna's pastimes, we can relieve ourselves from that strong attachment to this world. Therefore, in this age of Kali, as Vyasadeva mentioned in the beginning itself, people lacked that strength to take to penances and austerities. They were so much affected by the comforts of this world, Although temporary, they were not able to get away from this happiness, what temporarily received by the body in this world. Whereas in the other, Satyayuga, Tretayuga and Dwapara Yuga, people had much more renunciation and freedom from this attachment to this material world. And so they were able to act in a different way than what we are in this Kali Yuga. And therefore Kali Yuga's, all these faults and problems do exist. And Bhagavadam gives us the light in these through different verses. Sridhara Swami, while quoting, Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karmabhi shravana smaranarhani karishyani digechanam. And then the third question was raised at that point, that why one should, what is the benefit that Krishna has taken in this material world? He has come down to this material world, and we have seen that what benefit people are going to derive by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, that is also by listening to Krishna's pastimes. These were discussed in the second question. While coming to the third question, the question was raised that which of the pastimes of Krishna one should relish more than compared to anything else. Krishna performed so many pastimes, childhood pastimes, as a young person his pastimes in Dwaraka, as a king there, and performing as the king, he had such a great family, and 16,000 wives, so many children, and he lived a royal life in Dwaraka. He lived in Vrindavan as a young Yashodamai's darling, and not only that, he performed his pastimes with the gopis, and then again, later on, he went to Kurukshetra during the war in the battlefield, and he gave the highest of all the knowledge to this human society there in the form of Bhagavad Gita. In all these places, the Supreme Lord acted many, many pastimes in different times, in different ways. But Srimad Bhagavatam also says that pastimes which he has performed at Vrindavana as the child of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi, and also with the gopis, they have a special purpose, because every human being naturally has a tendency to be attached to the infants. It is a natural thing in every, even with other species of life, if we look, we'll see that propensity in us. And that is also true when Krishna was a little boy, his pastimes attracts everybody. No other incarnation, for example, if you take the other previous incarnations, we see that Jayadeva Goswami in Gita Govindam has classified these incarnations, the major 10. Vedanuddharade jagandivahade bhugolam adbhibrade daityam darayate balim chalayade kshatrakshayam kurvade paulastyam jayade halim kalayade karunyamatanvade mlechan murchayade dashakrudakrude krishnaya tubhyam namam. Jayadeva Goswami very emphatically said that he is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and from him comes all other incarnations. When he came as a fish incarnation, there was no childhood pastimes for the fish. Of course, he was a small fish in small pot. He took it into a bigger pot, he became a bigger fish, and then he took it to a lake. King Satyavrata, when he did that, and he was always getting shaken by that, this change in the fish body all the time happening. So actually there was no childhood pastimes for the fish. He took it to the pot, and from there to the lake, and from then to the river, and then eventually to the ocean. So these are the 4 or 5 times he changed his body, and that was the only pastime the fish had. Then in the Kurma incarnation, also there was no childhood pastimes. There was nothing much happening. Kurma was actually sleeping most of the time, and he was performing the churning of the ocean of milk. And he was feeling a little bit of scratch on his back, and Mandara Mountain was giving him a little bit of relief. So even in that form, he was not giving any particular happiness to the human society to really look forward to. Then when he came into Varaha's story we all know, how he acted. For him, this whole earthly planet was on his tusks, just like a ball, it was staying there. And he was dealing with Hiranyaksha. So it is a nice story to listen to. But again, there was no childhood pastimes in that incarnation also. Narasimha, then we don't have to say anything. Even if a small Narasimha comes here, I don't know how many of us will sit here. We'll probably get up and walk away because of the frightening. So neither Malsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha. Vamana incarnation, he came as a little boy, but all what he did was such pastimes which nobody else could perform. Such pastimes he performed then. And we could not think of him as a little boy, because from when Veli Maharaj on the banks of the river Narmada, when the sacrifice was going on, and when when Vamana, the Brahmachari, was begging three alms from Shukra Brahmarshi, from Shukracharya, he had so many motives behind, and it was basically to please the mother of the demigods, and it was done with a purpose. But again, there was no childhood pastimes. And then after that, even when he came as Parashurama or even as Lord Sri Ram, whom we all glorify as the Supreme Lord Himself, who is no different, Sri Ramchandraji, he also, there is not so much mention of childhood pastimes in Ramayana. Although he has, as a little boy, played around, but most of the time he spent in learning the archery from Vishwamitra, and Vishwamitra took them away as a young prince. But childhood pastimes, Valmiki also did not discuss in detail. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, out of the 90 chapters of the 10th canto, Vedavyasa Maharshi kept so many chapters, roughly 30 to 35 chapters, simply to describe Krishna's childhood pastimes. And they have their own greatness, that one who is seeking for some attachment to Krishna, it is possible to get attached to Krishna through these childhood pastimes. It has been proven. And that is why all these great souls, great personalities, Vilumangal Swamiji and so many others, took shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And automatically it has become a process for them in their later time, that they were able to enjoy that Krishna's childhood pastime so beautiful, that they always sung the glories of Krishna. Tamal budam bhalagam ambujeshanam chadurbujam shangagadha dhirayudam shri valsa lakshmam galashobhi gaustubam pidambaram sandrapayoda saubhagam. Shuga Brahmarshi, Sukadeva Goswami, when he saw Krishna's appearance in the prison, the first words he spoke, he said, albudam. Everything was albudam. Everything was wonderful. So wonderful. Tam albudam balagam ambujekshanam. That very eyes of Krishna was so wonderful. It was so captivating for Sukadeva Goswami. He said, tam albudam balagam ambujekshanam. That even about Lord Ramachandra, in the Ramayana it says, Rama Rajiva Lochanam. That Lord Ramachandra, even his eyes were very, very attractive. But this eyes of Krishna is even surpasses the beauty of Ramachandra. That is why Sukadeva Goswami, when he explained that, tam albhudam, it is so wonderful that very eyes of Krishna were attracting, pulling people towards him. Everybody who saw Krishna and Krishna's eyes, they could never take their face away from him. That was the beauty of those eyes. Tam albudam balagam ambujekshanam chadurbujam shangagadharyudayudam shri valsalakshmam galashobhigaustubam pidambaram sandrapayoda saubhagam maharhavaidujekiridakundalam dushalparishvakta sahasrakundalam uddama kanchengadagangadivir virechamanam vasudeva maikshadaha. That as soon as Krishna appeared in this world, immediately Sukadeva Goswami stood up from his position when he was talking to Maharaj Parikshit. He stood up from his place and he recited these two verses. That simply by seeing that beautiful form of Krishna, he didn't want anything else anymore, because such was the beauty of Krishna. Again and again, Sukadeva Goswami repeats the beauty of eyes of Krishna in different instances. When Pudana came to kill Krishna, some devotees have made this comment about it, that Krishna kept his eyes closed. And the reason for that, Krishna was so determined in his mind, I will not show these beautiful eyes to her. Because if I show these eyes to her, she may not do what I am expecting her to do. So such was the beauty of Krishna's eyes, that Krishna kept it as a secret. And this very eyes, again, gopis spoke about this in Samanda Panchakam at a later date. We will see that in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Rasa krida lulida lalidam vishladal kesha pasham mandol bhinnam shrama jalaganam lobhaniyam todangam karunyabde sagradavi samalingidam darshayedi premonmadad bhuvanamadana tulpriyastvam vilebu. The gopis were saying to Krishna at Samanda Panchakam, when this incident happened, that when they had that solar eclipse incident, at that time, everybody in India, at that time, everyone from all parts of the country visited Samanda Panchakam at that time. And in that instance, there were people from all provinces who were present there, because not only they went to see the solar eclipse, actually they went to see Krishna there, because that was the only opportunity they could see. Fortunately, we were not born at that time. We are here today. But those who were very fortunate at that time, they were able to be present in that solar eclipse where Krishna was kind and merciful to everybody, gave his darshan to everyone. And when the gopis arrived from Vrindavana, he kept them separately from everybody, and he gave them accommodation to each and every one of them. With full comforts, he received them and honored them. Vasudeva and Devaki were accommodated with Nanda Maharaj and Yashodamayi. Similarly, when this all incidents happened, Krishna went personally to the gopis and asked the gopis, "Is there anything what I can do for you anymore? I have to do which will please you." So, Rasa Krida Lulidalalidam, that after Krishna left Vrindavana years and years ago, Krishna was somewhere around 120 years old at this time. At the age of 12, Krishna went to Mathura to kill Kamsa, or even a little before that. And when Kamsa was killed, Krishna could not go back to Vrindavana. Rather, on the other hand, he moved further away with his diplomatic activities, establishing the kingdom, making Ugrasena as the king. And these incidences happened after that. And only occasion what Krishna got a feedback from Vrindavana was when Uddhava was sent to Vrindavana to find out the situation of the gopis. So in that instance, the gopis have actually was remembering that relationship they had with Krishna, and they mentioned this to Uddhava at one instance. And that is what is mentioned, Rasa Krida Lulidalalitham Vishladal Keshavasham Mandol Bhinna Shrama Jalaganam Lobhaniyam Todangam. That after the Rasa Krida, or the Rasa dance with Krishna, the gopis were feeling so much ecstasy, and that happiness they were receiving from association with Krishna. And Krishna was looking more beautiful than any time because of the sweat in his body. And Lobhaniyam Todangam Karunyabde Sakradavi Samalingidam Darshayedi Premonmadad Bhuvana Madana Tulprayastu Amvilevo. That separation from him, that was the most difficult thing for the gopis. So when they saw Krishna in Samanda Panchakam at that time, the gopis' request to Krishna was only one thing. They said to him that only that separation is enough to burn us all the time. We were not asking from you anything. We just wanted to be with you. That was their desire. But Uddhava, when he mentioned this to Krishna in his previous meeting with Krishna, Krishna has kept this in his mind while dealing with the gopis. And he took with his Yogeshwara, with the yogic power, he expanded himself into so many persons, and he embraced each one of the gopis at that point, and he asked them, "Is there anything more I can do for you?" And the reply to that, Sukadeva Goswami says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ahuschade nalina napa pada ravindam Yogeshware hridivijindya makhada pode Samsara kubam padido tarana valambam geham jusha mabi manasya asvaram nam. Samsara kubam, that we know that we have fallen into this samsaram. Samsaram means material existence. This word samsaram, it is very difficult to find a proper equivalent word in English, because in a few words to explain this word samsara means that all our experiences from birth to death, and all the experience from death to the next birth, this is in summary we can say as samsaram. Samsaram is such a word that it is used by all the great philosophers in the Vedic tradition, and whenever they have to explain our situation in this world, they will use this word samsaram. Samsaram, therefore we sing this verse also, samsara dhavan analidha loga, that samsaram is such a potential word with such a potency that it is difficult to bring that into one equivalent word. Rather, in essence we can say that it is our experiences, continuous experience of birth to death and death to birth and birth to death, that continuous process of experiencing this life in this consciousness, we can generally refer to as samsaram. So one who has fallen down into this samsaram, like all of us, padido tarana avalambam, that when one wants a shelter, then it says, yogeshware hridi vijindya makhada bodai, ahuschade nalina naphapadaravindam. Your lotus feet is the shelter in that situation. I have no other shelter. The gopis were declaring this, that we have no other shelter. Yogeshware hridi vijindya makhada bodai. Yogeshwara is Krishna, and he in our heart is the shelter. There is no other shelter. And nalina naphapadara vindam, addressing Krishna as the one who has got on his navel the lotus flower, that we do not require anything else from you. Only thing is, we will pray to you all the time that you come to our heart every time, in every instance, wherever we are. When this business is finished in Samanda Panchakam, we will go back to Vrindavan. And we come from the cowherd boys and cowherd girls we are, from the cowherd family. And our business is to milk the cows, to sell the milk, butter, cheese, yogurt, everything. And then we make a living. And we have no other happiness in this world except this. This is our duty. We do only this. But we get that happiness when we see you and when you are coming back into your heart every second. And that is how they replied to Krishna in that meeting at Samanda Panchakam. So in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam is describing through the 10th canto, through his childhood pastimes and so many other pastimes, the gopis themselves have declared that childhood pastimes gave them that special happiness which they never experienced anywhere else. In Dwaraka, the Supreme Lord was a king and he performed such pastimes related to a king's life. And in battlefield of Kurukshetra also, he was acting more as a diplomat, and his responsibility to get the demons finished on that spot, he performed that activity. But those activities of Vrindavana is for relishing for the devotees forever. And that will keep the devotees' spiritual life stronger and stronger, and it will also give us that strength to continue and enjoy Krishna's beautiful pastimes. I'll stop there now. की जय
श्रीमद् भागवतम महापुराण की
जय
श्रीमान स्पीकर के ही
हाय कृष्ण
जय एंजॉय व्हेन यू स्टॉप देयर इमीडिएटली यू फील योर टीथ सो दिस इज द फ्लेवर फॉर द नेक्स्ट 5 वीक्स एज़ वेल दिस इज द ओवरव्यू वी गॉट from the acharyas who are the authority on the commentary of Bhagavatam. You got that, glimpse of that. And obviously Jiva Goswami is also doing the sandarbhas. So devotees can read that as well. Then next week, you could say what are we going to practice today?
Yeah. I was thinking that we actually, to go deeply and discuss Bhagavatam, we need a lot of time. Because it's unlimited. Many devotees for thousands of years have discussed Srimad Bhagavatam, and they have given different angles of the Supreme Lord from different times and different situations. And when one reads all this, one wants to talk to others about it. It is quite a natural process. Because as I said in the beginning, that dharmam, artham and kamam, the three things, and dharma particularly refers to that one accepts what is mentioned in the Vedic literature, that is acceptance first, and then living according to the dharma, and then the third thing is propagating that dharma. So these three things are part of the process of dharma. Now, when one discusses Krishna's different devotees' realizations, it requires a lot of time. But to make a little bit easier, I thought we would discuss today just an introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, and in the next Saturday, we will discuss the Kapilam. Kapilam means Kapilopadesham, Kapila Vasudeva incarnation, the third canto, and that instructions, because they are very, very valuable instructions for us. In that Kapila Muni, so many years ago, thousands and thousands of years ago, even much before Krishna's appearance in this world, Kapila Vasudeva gave that philosophy of Kapila Muni's Sankhya philosophy, which is also very, very enlightening for the devotee to understand the living entity's position in this world. It helps a lot. And on the week after that, I was thinking of discussing Prahlad Maharaj's story, because there is no other story in Srimad Bhagavatam as beautiful as Prahlad Maharaj's story. Prahlad Maharaj, in that situation, the torments, the how Hiranyakashipus and the demons and their activities, and Prahlad Maharaj, beautiful instructions in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is referred to as Prahlada Stuti, those things we could discuss in the another lesson. And then, after that, we could discuss the Krishna's pastimes in a limited way, whatever we could allow us the time. And Srimad Bhagavatam's first 45 chapters, which is referring to Krishna's pastimes, we could discuss on one Saturday. And then in another two lessons, we would like to talk about the 24 spiritual masters in the 11th canto, how Krishna's valuable instructions to Uddhava before leaving this planet, that Uddhava Vadesham, instructions to Uddhava. Instructions to Uddhava is difficult to discuss in one day, because it requires so much analysis of that. It is very interesting also that how Uddhava, being the greatest devotee of the Lord, how during his departure, Krishna's departure, the devotee felt more than anybody else that departure from this world. And that ecstatic relationship Uddhava had with Krishna, and Krishna's final instructions to Uddhava, is actually keeping Uddhava in the front. He was instructing this world while leaving this world. He gave Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and he gave these instructions to Uddhava in Srimad Bhagavatam. There is not a lot of difference in the philosophy. There is no difference what he spoke to Arjuna and what he spoke to Uddhava. But instructions to Uddhava is more interesting from the viewpoint of a devotee, because Uddhava was a devotee. There is no other devotee who could, what Uddhava could understand. And that is why Uddhava was specially picked by Krishna when he went to Vrindavana to understand the greatness of the gopis. So, we will discuss that Uddhava's instructions in two lessons. One, first four chapters of the, totally there are 33 chapters in the 11th canto. The first chapter referring to the, the first chapter referring to the Krishna's departure, the preparation for that. In four chapters, we see the nine yogis who came to meet Vasudev, the Yogeshwaras, Kavirhari, Andarisha Prabuddha, Pipalayanan, Avirhotran, Drumilam, Chamasan, Karabajana. The nine yogis who came to visit Vasudev and Devaki under Krishna's instructions, prompted by Krishna, and the discussions between Narada Muni and Vasudev and Devaki, referring to the presence of these Navayogis in the assembly of Mithila, king of Mithila. So that is another four chapters along with the 24 spiritual masters which Krishna described to Uddhava. We will cover in one lesson and in one class, and in the next one we will discuss the 26 chapters, 1036 verses of Uddhava's instructions to Uddhava, Uddhava Vadesham. Like this, I hope we can, six Saturdays, we can release a little bit of Srimad Bhagavatam through the mercy of Krishna's mercy, and hopefully we will understand a little more. This opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the assembly of the devotees. Why we have to say this again is that when Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, he has specially in his mind a certain group of people whom he had kept in mind while writing Srimad Bhagavatam. Because it mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the earliest chapters itself, that Vedavyasa Maharshi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead standing, and in front of him, facing him, on the one side, he saw Maya Devi. It says in the Bhagavatam like that. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihido male. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihido mahale. Abhashyat purusham purvam mayam cha tadubhashrayam. That mayam cha tadubhashrayam. When Vedavyasa Maharshi, after Narada Muni departed from Vedavyasa Maharshi's ashrama, what he saw was, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead standing there, and facing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vedavyasa Maharshi also saw Maya Devi standing there. And in this age of Kali, it is also mentioned in the Bhagavatam, Praye nalpa yusha sabhya kalau asmin yuge jana manda sumanda madayo manda bhagya hyubadrudaha. That our lifespan is so limited and our intelligence is so limited. Manda sumanda madayo, everything is manda. Manda means slow, slowly, slowly. There is no rush for everything. Manda, Sumanda, Madayo. Manda means, it also means, from the spiritual angle, from the Sanskrit literature, the word manda has discussed by the acharyas in different ways. Manda, Sumanda, Madayo. Manda means also that there is no rush for anything. Let me finish all my materialistic life, and then one day when I am finished, almost ready to go to the grave, I'll start my spiritual life. This is why in the Bhagavatam, this particular word, Vedavyasa Maharshi put specifically there, manda sumanda madayo, that manda, or laziness, to do anything valuable for spiritual activities has been given up in the age of Kali. Manda sumanda madayo, that sumanda madayo means one whose intelligence is also very limited. So Vedavyasa Maharshi knew these problems before he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore he mentioned, Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihido male abhashyat purusham purvam mayam chatadubashrayam. That he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and tadubashrayam means serving the lotus feet of the Lord, he saw Mayadevi standing there. This is how the Srimad Bhagavatam begins. That Mayadevi could not stand on her own. She is the servant of Krishna, and her responsibility is to engage those personalities who are against serving Krishna. They have to be engaged in the materialistic activities. In the age of Kali, Vedavyasa Maharshi, keeping all these points in his mind, when he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, he mentioned that those who devotees who want to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and who wants to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, they will have a very limited opportunity as well. Because the materialistic activities are so strong in this life that one is not very much encouraged to engage in spiritual life. And that is why it is said that when we discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, it has become necessary to again stress this point that it is only by the grace of the great devotees and the Supreme Personality of Godhead that we get the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the assembly of the devotees. So in the first verse, when Vedavyasa Muni wrote Bhagavatam, that he mentioned the word as Satyam Param Dhimahi, and Srimad Bhagavatam ends also with the same word, Satyam Param Dhimahi. Why Satyam Param Dhimahi? Because in this material world, we have so many people with a different taste. Vedavyasa Muni actually knew what is this Satyam. Satyam is nothing but Krishna. He knew that. In fact, he would have written that it is Krishnam Param Dhimahi. But instead of writing Krishnam Param Dhimahi, he mentioned it as Satyam Param Dhimahi, because to understand, for everybody who has no proper understanding of the Absolute Truth, to bring them to that position and to explain that Krishna is that Absolute Truth, Vedavyasa Muni explained in the first verse itself, Janmadhyasayatonvaya itaradascharteshu abhijnaswaraltene brahma kridaya adhikavaye muhyandiyal sturayam tejovari mrudam yadhavinimayo yatra trisargo mrushadhamna svena sada nirastha kuhagam satyam param dhimahi. That the nature of the Absolute Truth, that he is always refusing to be away from the Maya. The Maya has no influence on the Absolute Truth or Krishna. Nirastha kuhagam satyam param dhimahi. Dharma projida gaida votra paramo. That this dharma, what is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, nirmal saranam sadam vedyam, it is meant for those devotees who are freed from the different problems of this material world, namely that one who is free from anger, lust, greed and so many other influences which affects one's mind, he has to relieve oneself from those activities. That is the word called Nirmal Saranam. Nirmal Saranam Sadam Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam Tavatrayon Moolanam. That in this world, normally, human society, we experience the three problems of material nature, or the three modes of material nature, namely the Adhyatmik, Adibhaudik and Adidevik, which are actually the problems of this world. This misery of this material world is continuously forcing us to act one way or the other. And these three miseries of material nature, Adhyatmika, Adibhaudik and Adidevik, Tabatrayon Mulanam, Vedavyasa Maharshi says that Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for those devotees. They can take Srimad Bhagavatam and it will relieve them from these three miseries of material nature. Every misery in this material world is generally classified by all the great philosophers of the Vedic tradition that they belong to one of these categories. Either it is Adhyatmik or it is Adibhaudik or it is Adidevik. So if one who is experiencing these three miseries and want to free oneself from these three miseries, Srimad Bhagavatam is the shelter. when Vedavyasa Muni, before he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the beginning is that Sudha Goswami, who actually heard in the assembly of Maharaj Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami, when they were discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, in one corner of that great assembly in Naimisharanyam, there was also Sudha Goswami, or Sudha Bhauranigan, was also present there. He heard the Srimad Bhagavatam discussions there. Later on, he moved on to discuss this in the Satram, in the association of the sages who were conducting a Satram there, Bhagavata Satram as it is called. And in that association, Sudha Goswami walked in. When he walked in, before that, a few years before that, already Sudha Goswami's father, whose name is Ramaharshana, who was also a Sudha, Ramaharshana was his name, the son's name is Ugrashravas. Ugrashravas, because he had this name given to him because he worshipped Ugra Narasimha in that time. And Ramaharshana, the father, was given forced liberation. That is how it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Forced liberation means he was killed by Balaram and given liberation to him. So it's a type of a forced liberation, Nurbandha Mukti, it is said in the Bhagavatam. A forced liberation was given to Sudha Pauraniya's father. And when Sudha Pauraniya walked into this assembly of the great sages who were present there, they welcomed him in a completely different way than normally others would have welcomed. The question was that all the sages who were assembled there, they immediately paid their obeisances to Sudha Goswami, and led by Shaunaka Rishi, all the sages were telling him in a different way. They mentioned to him, "Hey Sudha Goswami, we were waiting for your arrival for such a long time." And Sudha Goswami immediately experienced something which is different than what others would have seen. What was that? That a few days ago, when he was in the assembly of Maharaj Parikshit and also in the assembly of Sukadeva Goswami, he knew that Sukadeva Goswami was a person who could enter into others' heart freely. He was such a transcendental personality. That is why in the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find these particular words where Sukadeva Goswami, the particular invocation given to Sukadeva Goswami by Sudha Goswami. Sudha Goswami says, "Yam pravrajandam anupedam apeda krityam dvaibhayano virahakataram ajuhavam putredi tanmaitaya taravobhinedu tam sarvabhuda hridayam munim anadosmim." Sarvabhuda hridayam. He can enter into every living entity's heart. And he knew before he arrived on the scene that Sukadeva Goswami has already given this information to the sages, that Sudha Goswami will be arriving there and he will be discussing Srimad Bhagavatam with them. And this automatically reflected in their reception which they gave to Sudha Goswami when he arrived on the scene. And that is how the great acharyas have discussed in the Bhagavatam, that the arrival of Sudha Goswami was so auspicious in this great assembly of the sages on Naimisharanyam, of all the great sages who were present there, and in the way they spoke at that moment was very much special. And that was a very nice welcome for Sudha Goswami to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Sudha Goswami started speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, he has already paid his obeisances to Sukadeva Goswami as his spiritual master, and then he continues his discussions from there. So Vedavyasa Maharshi mentions there, at this point in time, that he was going through a difficult situation before he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. The difficult situation was this, that he wrote, who was actually incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he wrote so many different literature. Different Puranas were compiled for helping the Shudras and the women. For the intelligent class of people, he wrote the Vedanta Sutra, and he also wrote the great Upanishads. And in addition to that, he wrote Mahabharata to cover all group of people. And in spite of all that, Vedavyasa Muni did not find any satisfaction. And in this unsatisfied mood or dissatisfied mood, Vedavyasa Muni kept thinking. And he was a personality who was a sages. All sages have this great nature. They were able to look inwards and find out what was the cause of their dissatisfaction. And therefore, sages are referred to in the Shastras as Andarmukha. Andarmukha means one who is looking inwards. And Bahirmukha means one who looks outwards. Like all of us, when we have problem, we look outwards for solving the problem. We go outside, here, there, everywhere, to look for a solution to the problem. But the saintly people who are already very advanced and realized in their position, they do not look outwards, they look inwards for solving the problem.
Because if you see Vedavyasa Muni's other literature, like in Bhagavad Gita also, Vedavyasa Maharshi very clearly explains that Ishvara sarva bhudanam hridesh arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarva bhudani yandrarudhani mayayam. That Ishvara sarva bhudanam, in every living entity, Krishna is situated. Hridesh arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarva bhudani, and all these living entities in this material world and in the spiritual world, yandrarudhani mayayam. That yandrarudhani, just like in a machine, cogwheel, which is turning all the time, we are situated in this, Krishna is situated within every living entity's heart and forcing that living entity to perform different activities in this world. The sages are aware of this. They do not think like ordinary people who think. In this world, we think, oh, I am doing everything. I am the man who is doing this, I am doing that. And everything, it's me who is the controller. But for the sages who are advanced in their realization, they do not think like that. Because in other places also in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the same thing. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimodhalma kartaham iti manyade. Krishna Shri Bhagavan Vaja, in the sixth, fourth chapter, I think you find this. Prakrite kriyamanani, material modes of nature is actually acting, forcing us to act in one way or the other. We have absolutely no independence in doing that. Ahangara vimodhalma kartaham iti manyade. That it is only the false ego is telling us that we are actually the doers. But actually, in reality, personalities like Vedavyasa Muni, Narada Maharshi and all that, they do not think like this. Because they see that Krishna is behind everything that is happening in this world. They are not thinking independently like us, away from Krishna. And because their thoughts are so much in line with Krishna's thoughts, they understand. And Krishna, because he is so kind to the devotees, then a devotee has a problem. Immediately, the solution to the problem is also given to the devotee. And that is how Narada Muni was arrived on the scene. And Narada Muni and Vedavyasa Muni has a discussion at that time before writing Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Muni inquired from Vedavyasa Muni the reason for his dissatisfaction. Vedavyasa Muni in brief explained to him, and at that point Narada Muni started analyzing Vedavyasa Muni's problems. So to begin with, Narada Muni spoke about the first literature what Vedavyasa Muni has written, and in that analysis he said that although you have compiled such great literature, you have discussed various dharma. Dharma means Varnashama dharma, Brahmana Kshatriya dharma, Brahmana dharma, Kshatriya dharma, Vaishya dharma, Shudra dharma, and also Brahmachari dharma, Grihastha dharma, Vanaprastha dharma, Sannyasi dharma, Putra dharma, Raja dharma, and so many dharma Vedavyasa Maharshi has discussed through his various literature. But along with that, he also discussed Bhagavad dharma. But Vedavyasa Muni took Bhagavad dharma as one of the other dharma. Narada Muni didn't agree with that. And he said that Bhagavad dharma is something different. Bhagavad dharma, Krishna has given specifically in this age for those devotees who want to go back to the spiritual world. That is the only opportunity to use, and that is Bhagavad dharma. And Bhagavad dharma should be explained specifically in another literature for the benefit of the human society. And it was at that point, and pointing out to himself, Narada Muni said, look at me, I am the best example of this Bhagavad dharma. Look at me where I have reached. Vedavyasa Muni had a great respect for Narada Muni, because Narada Muni traveled all over the spiritual world and material world singing the glories of the Supreme Lord. And seeing this, Narada Muni explained to Vedavyasa Muni about his own life and how these things happened. In his past life, when he had, in the Purva Kalpa, it says, it is in another Kalpa. A Kalpa means, actually it is a day of Lord Brahma. 1000 Chaturyugas or 4 Yugas. Kritam Treda Dwavaram Kali, they are the 4 Yugas. And they altogether makes one Chaturyuga. 1000 Chaturyugas makes one day of Lord Brahma. And in this one day of Lord Brahma, which is referred to as Kalpa, Brahma is 51 year old at the moment. That means he has finished almost 18,000 Kalpas. He is over. And he is little higher than that now. And this 51st year, which is known as the Varaha Kalpa, which is going through at the moment, he was talking to Vedavyasa Maharshi about this. In his Purva Kalpa, which was known as the Palma Kalpa, this discussion happened. That Narada Muni had to take the birth as a little boy, as a son of a Shudra woman who actually served a Brahmana family. And this Brahmana family, who was very much sticking to the Vedic principles and Vedic culture, has actually looked after saintly people very well. And it was in one of those days that the Chadurmasam, Chadurmasam means the 4 months during the rainy season, when the sages stay, live in one place and they carry out their spiritual activities in one place. They don't move from one place to another. This is the Chadurmasam. Chadurmasam is 4 months. So once upon a time, when Narada Muni's mother, who was a woman, actually helping the serving this Brahmana family, lived in one particular house and serving at that same time, some sages arrived on that scene. When the sages arrived there, the Brahmana actually built a special building for them. It is called as Chadurmasya Shala. Chadurmasya Shala means that the Brahmins used to build a separate building for the sages to live and provide them with all the facilities for them to carry out their spiritual life, spiritual activities. This was the duty of the Brahmanas and all the wealthy people. A householder should never refuse to the saintly people when they come to execute spiritual life in their houses. And this is what we have to learn from that. In the Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi very clearly explains that when they were approached by the, Narada Muni says that, when the Brahmana was approached by the sages, the Brahmana immediately constructed a separate Chadurmasya Shala, or a separate building for them to live. And not only that, after they have built the house, he asked Narada Muni and told the sages that, "I have built the house, I have made all the arrangements for you to perform your Chadurmasyam here. Now, in addition to that, I will leave this young lad, Narada Muni, here to look after your other interests, and if you have any problems, let him know. He will come back and report it to me. And if you need any help, he will immediately come and tell me, and I will also immediately do the necessary things if anything else is required. Although I have done everything for you, for your comfortable stay here. But if you have any further problem, let Narada, that was the boy, 5 or 6 years old, and tell him, he will come back and report it to me." So, with this understanding, Chadurmasyam began in that place. When Chadurmasyam began, the 4 months of austerities and penances, Narada Muni was a special person. Narada Muni was not engaged in any playful activities like other boys. He was more interested, he was just interested in serving these people, the sages who were present there. There were 4 sages actually who were present. And these 4 sages, they used to discuss. What did they discuss? They discussed about Krishna. They only discussed about Krishna. Not only that, their sages were very, very kind people. They were so merciful to Narada Muni that they spoke everything, all the pastimes of Krishna, in such a way that Narada Muni could understand that. At the age of 5, a child cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Lord Godhead's activities. But the way these sages spoke in that occasion was such a way that they took pity upon that little boy, Narada. They took pity upon that little boy, Narada, and started speaking to them in a way that the boy could understand. So the 4 months carried on in that way. And at the end of 4th month, Narada Muni was actually feeling these stories of Krishna were strongly going through his mind, that he was getting attracted to them to such an extent that when the sages were leaving that place, Narada Muni had tears coming from his eyes. And he has approached them and started requesting, telling them that, "When you leave this place, who is going to tell me the stories of Krishna? Stories of my Krishna." This was the word he used in the Bhagavatam, that who is going to tell me the stories of my Krishna. That word is very much notable, because one has to note this. Narada Muni has used the word "my Krishna." That by then already the attachment has strongly built up in Narada Muni's heart. That it was my Krishna, me. That my Krishna has become so strongly in his heart. That means the attachment from this material world was already gone. Attachment to Krishna is already built up in his heart. It was so strongly built up that Narada Muni, after the sages were leaving at that point, seeing his special condition, the people who were present there, the 4 sages giving him a blessing, that chant Hare Krishna, everything will be alright. This was the mercy they gave it to him. You see, just by serving that such a great personalities, the 4 great personalities, and due to their special mercy, it is said in the Bhagavatam, Mahiyasam Padarajobhishegam. That Padarajobhishegam, he has taken the shelter of those personalities so strongly that when they left, they took mercy upon that person, Narada Muni, and gave the special mercy to him. Narada Muni received that mercy, and and he was actually thinking about Krishna most of the time. Hearing about Krishna was enough for Narada Muni that he started engaged in most of his time in thinking about Krishna. The thoughts became so strong that his mother, who was actually serving at that place, was most of the time calling for Narada. She kept calling Narada and Narada, but there was no answer. Narada never replied. Narada's mind was actually thinking about the form of Krishna and various pastimes Krishna has performed in Vrindavana and so many other places. And these pastimes were going through Narada Muni's heart so strongly that Narada Muni could not even answer his mother. In the Bhagavatam it is said that mother kept calling. First called Narada, second time called Narada, again there was no answer. And third time when she called, Narada Muni answered, "What do you want?" So mother said, "No, I don't want anything. I have just called you to check that you are there." Because in her mind, the anxiety about the child was so strong that she was thinking that, "Oh, I must look after this child and that is the only thing I have to do." But Narada Muni, in his mind, thought differently. His thought was that this is a problem, that my mother is continuously disturbing me. Had my mother been not there, I would have been free to inquire about the Absolute Truth. On the very same day, when Narada Muni's mind turned in this direction, that very evening, when Narada Muni's mother went to milk the cow, she was bitten by a serpent and she died. So this is the arrangement of Krishna. In the material world, many people have the understanding, by worshipping Krishna, one loses all material opulences. Krishna has different ways of arranging people to come back to Krishna. To some people he gives the opulences, to some people he takes away the connections and everything. In Kunti Devi's prayers, we will see that, how Kunti Devi prayed to Krishna. Narada Muni left that scene and after that he walked on further and further. Eventually he reached a forest, and in the forest he was glorifying Krishna to such an extent, the Supreme Lord appeared in front of him and gave the darshan to him. Narada Muni saw Krishna. Again Krishna disappeared, and after that Narada Muni could not see him. And it was at this point that Narada Muni was told that he will be able to see Krishna in his next life. So when this was spoken by Krishna, Narada Muni started waiting for the death to come. Every evening he used to sleep waiting, asking the death to come. And every morning he woke up and he said to the death, "Oh, you didn't come last night." And this was his prayer to the death. And death personified, he prayed in this way for several days. Throughout the life he had to pray this. And in this way life continued. And after that, Narada Muni had to, after he gave up his body, the next day of Lord Brahma started. And in that is the next night, and the whole night he had to stay in Brahma's body. And then he came back again after the whole 1000 Chaturyugas, which is a very, very long period of time. And when he came back, he had to accept another body, and this was the body which Narada Muni later got as the devotee, where he traveled throughout the material and spiritual world. Narada Muni's story is very, very interesting in the Bhagavadam. Idam hi pumsa tapasa shrutasya vasishtasya suktasya ca buddhi dattayo avichidartha kavibhir nirupido yad uttama shloka gunanu varnanam. That uttama shloka, Krishna, his transcendental qualities have to be discussed and discussed between the devotees. Idam hi pumsa tapasa shrutasya va, neither by penances nor by austerities, shrutasya suktasya ca buddhi dattayo. Whatever intelligence one has got, one should understand Krishna's transcendental personality. Avichidartha kavibhir nirupido yad uttama shloka gunanu varnanam. Avichidartha kavibhir nirupido, that all the great personalities who have discussed about Krishna's personality have come to this conclusion, that whatever intelligence one has got should be utilized for discussing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because tiktva sudharmam charanambujam harir bhajanna pakveda pathe tatho yadi yatra kava bhadram abhudamushyakim kovartha apto bhajadam sudharmatah. That Bhagavatam says that tiktva sudharmam charanambujam harir, one who has given up all their sudharma. Sudharma means that in the Varnashrama dharma system, one has Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. This is the Vedic tradition. Vedic tradition means one follows the Varnas and Ashrama. One who is following the Varna and Ashrama system, that tektva so dharmam charanam bhujam harer. Vedavyasa Muni, when he wrote all other Vedic literature, he stressed on Varnashram Dharma very strongly. But when he came to Srimad Bhagavadam, it was Bhagavad Dharma which was more important than Varnashram Dharma. From there we have to understand that tektva so dharmam charanam bhujam harer, that somehow or the other we will not be able to perform our Swadharma in this world. Particularly today we can see that we have no freedom because everything, the whole society is so much disintegrated and it is does not follow any particular principle. It is a complete mix-up. Therefore, Vedic society has totally disappeared from this world. Tektva Swadharmam charanam bhujam harer. Therefore, Swadharma has also become a problem. We cannot execute the Swadharma. But tektva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajanna pakveda pate tatho yadim. That although we are not able to execute our swadharma, if one has taken the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, bhajan abakveda pate tatho yadi, that even it is abakvam, even if it is not fully ripe in our activities, pate tatho yadi, even if he falls down in this life, yatra kava bhadram abhudam ushyakim kovarta apto bhajadam swadharmadaha. That yatra kava bhadram abhudam ushyakim, that what loss is there for that person if he has served Krishna? This is what Narada Muni said. That even if he has fallen down from his Varnashrama dharma, he could not execute his dharma properly. Because we know in this life that our lifestyle today is not in line with the Vedic philosophy, is not in line with the Vedic principles. We are engaged, most of us are engaged in the Shudra's activities, and when we are engaged in the Shudra activities, there is no question of performing the Vedic principles properly. That although it is said in the Bhagavadam, yatra kava bhadrama bhudam ushyakim kovarta apto bhajadam sadharmadaha. That sadharmam, even if it by some reason we lose that sadharma, but still if there is an opportunity that one is engaged in Bhagavadharma, that person is considered to be superior. This is the verdict of the Srimad Bhagavadam. That even in any circumstances, because Swadharma need not be given up. In any situation, one should execute one Swadharma. That is the injunction of the Shastra. In whatever situation one is, if it is a Brahmana, Sandhyavadanam and Adhyayanam, all these are part of his Swadharma. If this Dharma is not performed, then he is not considered to be a Brahmana. But due to certain, for helpless situation, one is forced to act in particular way in this material world for livelihood or some other reason. But even in that situation, Srimad Bhagavatam says that tektva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajanna pakveda pate tatho yadi yatra kava bhadram abhudam ushyakim kovartayapto bhajadam swadharmadah. That even in such situation, if one is executing Krishna consciousness, then he is not considered to be in the fallen condition. He is considered to be progressing in the spiritual life. This is a verdict of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, it says very clearly that that tasyaiva hedu prayadeda kovido na labhyade yad brahmadam uparyada tadanyade dukhavahanyada sukham kalena sarvatra gabiraram hasaha. That Srimad Bhagavatam says that tasyaiva hedu prayadeda kovido. Living entity is going through millions and species of life, and all through these different species of life, he has been accumulating so much karma behind it in different ways, and at the same time, he has acquired certain mentality also. Tasyaiva hedu prayadena kovido na labhyade yad bhramadam ubhayadam. But Bhagavad Dharma or Krishna consciousness is only available for a very, very few devotees who are fortunate enough to take the shelter of the great personality, who has taken shelter. Yenyeja Baba Yaduba Shraya Shraya Shudhyandi Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namam. That no matter in what situation one is born, in what body one has obtained, in what place he has obtained this body, Srimad Bhagavatam says that Kirada Honandra Pulinda Pulkasam Abhira Kanga Yavana Kasadaya Yenyeja Baba Yaduba Shraya Shraya Shudhyandi Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namam. That if one has somehow or the other taken the shelter of such a devotee who has taken the shelter of Krishna, or who has taken the shelter of another devotee, and who has taken the shelter of another devotee in that way, right up to Krishna, that person is still saved from this material existence. Swadharmam cannot be protected in some situations. Vilumangal, for example, in some situation it is not possible for one person to protect one's own Swadharma. But Swadharma should be protected as much as possible. If he is a devotee, it is possible that even in that devotional service, one may not be able to execute the required standard or maintain the standard of spiritual life. But as long as one is executing spiritual life, he should perform with the Swadharma. But then at what stage one can give up Swadharma? This is also mentioned in the Bhagavatam. That Vilamangal Swamiji, when he had to one day, he had to give up Swadharma. He was a sannyasi. A sannyasi is supposed to take bath 3 times a day, and he has to perform his Sandhyavandanam 3 times in the day, and he has to chant the Gayatri so many times. All these prescribed activities are there. Vilamangal could not perform that. And at that time, one day, Krishna was sitting on Vilamangal's lap, and at that point, came down there. At that time, all the devatas, Sandhyavandana Devata, and all the other devatas who were actually inquiring to find out what Vilamangal was engaged in. Vilamangal's reply in Krishna Karnavada, Vilamangal explained the answer in this way: Sandhya Vandana Badramastu Bhavado Bhosnana Tubhyam Namo Bodeva Pidarascha Darpana Vidho Naham Kshamakshamyadam Yatra Kwavinishidha Yadava Kulotam Sasyakam Sadvisham Smaram Smaramaham Tadami Hadalam Hanyekimanyename. Sandhya Vandanam. Sandhya Vandana means the activity performed at the 3 sandhyas, morning, midday, and in the evening, by the sannyasis. So when they perform the Sandhyavandanam ceremony, Sandhyavandana Badramastu Bhavado, that Sandhyavandanam is actually supposed to bless the devotee. But on the other hand, Vilamangal was blessing the Sandhyavandana Devata. Sandhyavandana Badramastu Bhavado Bhosnana Tubhyam Namo. Snana Devata was standing next to Sandhyavandana Devata, and he blessed the Snana Devata also. And he said to her, Sandhyavandana Badramastu Bhavado Bhosnana Tubhyam Nama Bodeva Pidarascha Darpana Vidho Naham Kshama Kshamyadam. Naham Kshama Kshamyadam. Forgive me for my inability to serve you. This was the way he spoke to them. Yatra kvavi nishiddhayadava kulotam sasya kamsadvisham smaram smaramakam. Krishna, who is born in this Yadukula, and who is actually the jewel of Yadukula, ever since I have come in touch with him, I have lost all interest in worshipping anybody else. And this is the stage when one gives up the Swadharma. Otherwise, one cannot give up Swadharma. One has to carry on executing the Swadharma. And this is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, in the Krishna Karnamrita this way, that we can see from the life of the great devotees that only at that stage one gives up the regulative principles. Regulative principles has to stay with the person till that point when Krishna arranges us in such a way that we don't have that obligation anymore within us. That is where when one gives up the regulative principles. Otherwise, one should carry on with regulative principles till that point that Krishna is free to take us out of these obligations in this material world. Otherwise, it is considered as per the Vedic injunctions that one carry on with the regulative principles. So anyway, these discussions happened between Narada Muni and Vedavyasa Maharshi. Vedavyasa Maharshi started writing Srimad Bhagavatam. At that point, when Vedavyasa Maharshi closed his eyes, Narada Muni told Vedavyasa Muni to start writing Srimad Bhagavatam, and he went back to Narayana Ashram, which was only a few kilometers away from Vyasa Ashram, where Vedavyasa Muni was actually meditating on the Supreme Lord. So while discussing this, at that point arrived there, Vedavyasa Muni closed his eyes and he was sitting, and at that point he started some noise outside. He heard that, and when he looked out, opened his eyes and he looked at, it was Ganesh who was sitting there. So Ganesh was sent there by Mahadev and Lord Shiva at that time to start. Mahadev, Lord Shiva called Ganesh and told him, my dear son Ganesh, I think Vedavyasa Maharshi started writing something. Please go and see what he is doing. This was from Kailas, the instructions to Ganesh. Ganesh immediately traveled to Vedavyasa Muni, came and sat there as usual with his elephant head and the two fans on it, fan-like ears. He started fanning Vedavyasa Maharshi, and feeling the breeze that was coming from the ears, immediately Vedavyasa Muni woke up and looked, and he saw Ganesh sitting there. And then Ganesh is a little proud on one reason, that he is always very proud because he feels that he was the first person who heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Vedavyasa Maharshi. That little pride always Ganesh has. Ganesh he started writing Srimad Bhagavatam there. Vedavyasa Muni was dictating Srimad Bhagavatam to him, and when he continued to write, at one point Vedavyasa Muni told Ganesh that I would like you to continue writing non-stop, it was a request from Ganesh actually that he continue to speak without stopping. And on the other hand, Vedavyasa Muni gave the request requested Ganesh that he should only write what he has understood. If he has not understood what he is speaking, then Ganesh should not write that. So it was on this understanding that Bhagavatam was spoken. Ganesh took down the Srimad Bhagavatam and the first copy Ganesh carried to Kailas. He took it to Kailas. First thing he handed over to us to Mother Parvati Devi. Sri Parvati Devi, who was present there in Kailas, wanted to hear Srimad Bhagavatam first in itself. And it was at that time that Ganesh recited Srimad Bhagavatam for Sri Parvati Devi. Sri Parvati liked Srimad Bhagavatam so much that it is the transcendental activities of Krishna which you will see in the 12th canto, how Sri Parvati released Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned in the story when the discussion about Markandeya's life is discussed. Purana Acharya Dostude, Purana Acharya. Among discussion, among the speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam, Markandeya Muni has been given a special place because of the special significance and blessings given to him by Sri Parvati Devi. Anyway, Ganesh took Srimad Bhagavatam, took it to Kailas and discussed it with Sri Parvati Devi, and that is how that parambara of Srimad Bhagavatam came through Lord Shiva in a separate way. Now, here what has happened was that Vedavyasa Muni wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam at different places he kept certain messages for the devotees to look into very seriously. And that is why in several places of Srimad Bhagavatam you will find great devotees' prayers to them. To begin with, we have got Kunti Stuti, Kunti's prayers. Kunti Devi prayed to Krishna. Immediately after that, you will find Bhishma praying to Krishna, Bhishma Stuti. Then we have got Prahlada Stuti, Gajendra Stuti. And like that, so many studies or so many glorifications. All these studies or the glorifications of Srimad Bhagavatam are addressing the devotees to understand the transcendental nature of the Lord. Kunti Devi, who was actually Kunti Devi's prayers, we will discuss a few minutes and then we will close this. Namaste Purusham Twadyam Ishwaram Pragrade Param Alakshyam Sarvabhudanam Andar Bahiravastidam. Kunti Devi was saying, actually the story begins like this, that after we go back to Mahabharata now, that after the end of the 18 days war, Bhishma Pitamaha was lying on the bed of arrows. And on the other hand, the 18 days war was over, and Krishna called the Pandavas and told them that today at least, now that the war is over, almost everyone has been killed, only Duryodhana was still left behind. He was lying there with the bone in the thigh broken, and he was lying there waiting for the death to happen. So at that point, Krishna called the Pandavas and told the Pandavas that at least today you should go and bathe in the river and have nice prasadam and take some rest happily. But I will be still awake looking after the security of the Pandavas. So when Krishna spoke this, Maharaj Yudhishthira, who was hearing this, was thinking in his heart, at least today Krishna will go and take some rest, because all these 18 days Krishna has not slept for a second. He was actually busy whole day driving the chariot for Arjuna, and in the night, Bilamangal says that he used to take all the horses, bathe them nicely and then bring them back, and used to stand outside the Pandava's fort with the wall, with the sword taken out of its case, and he used to sit there as the sentry for the Pandavas. This was the service he was performing at that time. Such is the affection Krishna has shown to the devotees. And all these things are coming back in Kunti Devi's prayers to Krishna. So before we come to that, Ashwatthama, after the 18th day, when he saw that Duryodhana was lying down in that awkward condition, ready to expecting the death to happen, Ashwatthama decided that I should do something meritorious to please my boss. And with this thought in mind, he went and killed all the children of Panjali, of Draupadi. He killed them and he came back to report this to Duryodhana. Duryodhana, when he heard this news from Draupadi, was not very pleased, because Ashwatthama's the word used in the Bhagavatam is apandavayam. Apandavayam means that I have completely destroyed the very root of the Pandavas. Apandavayam. Bhagavatam says that apandavayam. I have completely destroyed the very root of the Pandavas, that you will not find any more life from the Pandavas in this world. And he thought that this may be a good news for Duryodhana. With this in mind, he went back to Duryodhana to report this. When he went to report this, even Duryodhana did not appreciate that. Duryodhana, although he was such an incarnation of Kali, and he performed such hellish activities, in spite of that, Duryodhana did not appreciate Ashwatthama's activity, what he performed at that night. Anyhow, Ashwatthama decided to eventually perform one of the last things which he should not have done, which was actually to kill the baby which was within the womb of Mother Uttara, Abhimanyu's wife. Uttara, who was living with Subhadram and Kunti Devi at that time, Uttara was suddenly experiencing the terrible heat which was actually encircling her womb. And she knew that Ashwatthama or somebody from the opposite side has sent the special weapon to kill the last seed of the Pandava. Pahi pahi mahayogin deva deva jagalpade nanyam twadvayam pashel yatra mrityu parasparam. Uttara Devi addressed Krishna like this. Pahi pahi mahayogin, O great Yogeshwara, Krishna is the greatest of all the yogis. Knowing this very well, Uttara Devi addressed Krishna. Pahi pahi mahayogin, O greatest of all the yogis, deva deva jagalpade nanyam twadvayam pashel yatra mrityu parasparam. That something is burning me inside and I do not know what that is. Please protect me. And Krishna was at that very point, was ready to leave for Dwaraka. It was at that time that Uttara Devi came and fell down and spoke like this to Krishna. Realizing very well what has actually happened, Krishna entered into the womb of Uttara Devi and protected Maharaj Parikshit there. Later on we will see why Krishna protected. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it says why Krishna protected Maharaj Parikshit. Because it was through this great personality, Maharaj Parikshit, Krishna was going to introduce Srimad Bhagavatam into this world. This was a special reason why he has protected Maharaj Parikshit. And in one instance, after going back to Dwaraka, when he was invited by Maharaj Yudhishthira to perform the Ashwamedha sacrifice, where Krishna was going to be worshipped 3 times, Krishna said to Yudhishthira that I have no time for you. I am very busy with this child. And Krishna was all the time playing with Maharaj Parikshit at the house of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Yudhishthir and all the other Pandavas were very busy organizing the sacrifice to please Krishna. But Krishna was busy with playing with this child Parikshit. And that is how personal Krishna was with Parikshit. And Parikshit Maharaj at that point was protected in the womb of Uttara Devi. And when she was protected, and after that Krishna was again preparing himself to go to Dwaraka. It was at that point that Yudhishthira started speaking a little, not in a very nice way, about Krishna. Papa Bhidi, Bhagavatam says that the fear of performing sinful activity came back to Yudhishthira. In fact, in the human life, it is mentioned in the Shastras that if you engage in sinful activities, that sinful activities will come back to us in the form of fear at a later date in life. It is not possible to throw them away. Although in human life we generally have the feeling that nobody else is witnessing this. But everything is witnessed outside as well as inside. Inside Krishna is witnessing, outside the Krishna's different energies are witnessing our sinful activities. That is why sinful activities, so long as they are performed, it is always witnessed, and these activities will come in the form of Papa Bhidi. Papa Bhidi means that fear which comes later on in life. So when so many people were killed in the war, Yudhishthira Maharaj was thinking that I am responsible for this, the death of so many personalities. And that fear of killing so many people in the war actually came back to Maharaj Yudhishthira. And it was that Pavavidi that was killing him. And Yudhishthira Maharaj then slowly started changing his tone. And he started saying, first of all he didn't speak very openly. He was only speaking to one or two members in the family. That I think Krishna is responsible for the whole war. This was the way he commented. His comments were like this, but he wouldn't say it openly. But it started like that he started mentioning Krishna is responsible for this war. But so the younger brothers, Arjuna and Bhima particularly, started telling to Yudhishthira that Jeshtha Bhrata, they called him, that don't speak like that. After all, he has protected us in all difficult situations. But Yudhishthira won't agree. Yudhishthira kept on hammering. In Mahabharata, this is described very nicely, that this fear was growing so strongly in his head that he started eventually seeing Krishna is responsible for the whole war and the death of so many friends and relations and everybody. And when this has happened, eventually he started coming out openly. And one day he addressed Krishna and mentioned to Krishna that we should not, this war should not have happened. So Krishna was able to know what was going through Maharaj Yudhishthira's mind, and he decided to sort that out. So the way Krishna Albhuta Karmana, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, Albhuta Karmana, this is the word. Albhuta Karmana is the word when he used about Krishna's special qualities or special way of Krishna's handling the situations like that. Krishna took Yudhishthira Maharaj to an assembly of the sages. And in that assembly, he started speaking to them about the Bhagavad Gita again. What he has spoken in the battlefield to Arjuna, he repeated again that to Maharaj Yudhishthira. And all these things, when he was reciting Bhagavad Gita to Maharaj Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira heard everything, but after that it had no impact on Yudhishthira. So you can see that the same message, when he spoke to Arjuna, it worked. When he spoke to Yudhishthira, it didn't work. So in the Bhagavatam, the great devotee says then, that Maharaj Yudhishthira also heard Bhagavad Gita, but it was here, he was actually sleeping, he wasn't hearing it. He heard, but nothing happened to him. Maharaj Yudhishthira, it was at that point that Krishna reminded them that it was almost 40-45 days have gone, that in a few days Bhishma Pitamaha was leaving the body, and he told everybody to travel to Bhishma Pitamaha's place. And that was that point that on the 58th day that Maharaj Bhishma Pitamaha gave up his body, and it was before that Krishna and the devotees, Pandavas, everybody arrived on the scene. And in that scene where Bhishma glorified Krishna in front of all the devotees is very famously known in Srimad Bhagavatam as Bhishma Stuti. Bhishma Stuti means these are the prayers, the 12 verses through which Bhishma Pitamaha glorified Krishna in such an eloquent way that these verses again and again are studied by great, great acharyas and devotees to such an extent that they could not believe that they had to accept Bhishma Pitamaha as one of the great Mahajans. Swayambhu Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Prahlada Janako Bhishma Balim Vayasagim Vayam. Prahlada Janako Bhishma. That Bhishma has been given as a special position among the 12 Mahajans who understood what is Krishna. And in that 12 verses, this is specifically mentioned. Bhishma's prayers were so beautiful that he mentioned, and Arjuna was hearing all these prayers. Till then, Arjuna was thinking that it was his special capacity that he won the war. But in that prayers, he said to Arjuna that if you were not protected by Krishna at that time, I would have shown you what you really were. The old man was so strong in his head that he was able to tell them very strongly, and Krishna enjoyed those prayers so beautiful. And now the last thing in that prayers happened was, after the prayers were over, everybody departed from that place. Krishna stood at the feet of Bhishma Dev, and Bhishma Dev was able to see Krishna on his face, and he was able to give up the body seeing Krishna. All the Pandavas were actually chanting the glories of Krishna. Krishna was standing in front of them, and Bhishma Pitamaha left his body in that particular form, in that particular situation. After that was over, all the sages, they were all present in that time. Krishna has arranged everybody to be present there. And Yudhishthira Maharaj's unhappiness went away after hearing from Bhishma Pitamaha, because Krishna used Bhishma to give this message to Yudhishthira about the position of Krishna, who Krishna is. And that is how Krishna spoke about that. But after they all left the scene, Bhishma left this world, all the sages were walking back home, going back to their respective places. So in that journey, on their way back, the sages were talking to each other about the departure of Bhishma Dev, Bhishma Pitamaha. Why it was so important? Because they used some special words in there. Tadastha Krishna Hridayam. That these sages were saying that just like in this world also, when we go for a festival, say for example, we go for Janmashtami festival, somebody who is interested in kirtan, they will tell each other to another person, yes, the kirtan was very nice. Somebody else will say, oh, the prasadam was very good. They will talk, the people who are interested in eating nicely or prasadam, they will talk each other about prasadam. This is natural. Similarly, people who are interested in kirtan, they will talk about kirtan nicely. So this is human nature. It is nothing unusual about it. Similarly, these sages also, on their way back from Bhishma Pitamaha's death, they spoke about only one thing, and that was that, is it not so nice to leave this body in this world the way Bhishma Dev has left? That was that they spoke each other. Why did they say that? Because that as far as death is concerned, we have no freedom to decide. We have no freedom to decide when we will die. We have no freedom to decide where we will die. We have no freedom to decide what circumstances we will die. But we have one freedom Krishna has given us. That is, in this little lifetime, what we have got, Srimad Bhagavatam says, pray to Krishna that this is the way I want to leave this body from this world. Exactly like Bhishma Pitamaha left this world, left the body from this world. It is said in the Bhagavatam, Iti Madhiruvakalpidam Vidrishnam, that he had no material desire. All he desired was, who else can stay in front of Krishna and say to Krishna, I had no material desire except Bhishma Pitamaha. He alone could say that. And his words were so beautiful. He elegantly mentioned that Vitrishna, Vitrishna means one who has no more desire, material desire. And he wanted to see Krishna standing in front of him. And Krishna came to give that special mercy to the devotee. And Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Mohini, through two words, in the, what the sages describe each other at their discussion, Tadasta Krishna Hridaya, that fill your heart with Krishna. And pray to Krishna today, when you have the best body and healthy body, that at the time of leaving this world, please make this arrangement to come in front of me, exactly like Bhishma Pitamaha asked Krishna to come, and he did come in front of Bhishma Pitamaha. So that is the prayer, beautiful prayer of Bhishma Dev, that he is saying, this is what the sages discussed each other when they were leaving that place. And that was, two words was enough, Tadasta Krishna Hridaya Prashramo Abhinapvinam. That they were went back to their ashramas, only they were talking about this one thing. Sages were not busy discussing about economic development. They are not concerned about what this world is going to hell or heaven. What they are concerned about is, human life is such a valuable thing that when one is able to leave this human body, he gets an opportunity, and that opportunity is very rare. As the sages themselves said, that we have no freedom to decide where we will die. We have no freedom to decide in what situation we are going to die. In spite of, we see that again and again in this material world, very, very rich personalities, they have made such superb arrangements. But in spite of them, they go and die in some street somewhere, or in an accident, or in somewhere like that, and lost the value of this human life. But we have been given one freedom, and that freedom is that we have prayed to Krishna in this body before it is dwindles away, that at the time of death, please appear in front of me and take me back to the spiritual world. And this is the beauty of the Bhishma Stuti. Kundi Stuti before appeared that, and that will take a longer time to discuss. We'll stop there today. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Why did Yudhishthira Maharaj? That is the way Maya works in this world. Even Yudhishthira Maharaj, who was the devotee of Krishna, he was also affected by Maya some instances. Maya took over in the sense that Krishna had bigger plans, which we can only see when you go through Srimad Bhagavatam. That Krishna's plan was, he wanted to be, Yudhishthira Maharaj was not being an elder brother, was not taking Krishna. Krishna was always paying obeisances to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj was Krishna's elder to Krishna. Whereas Arjuna was considered equal, and Nakula and Sahadeva paid obeisances to him. So, being an elder brother, it was very difficult for him to take instructions from Krishna easily. So, sensing Yudhishthira Maharaj's special, and Yudhishthira Maharaj by person, he was such a personality that he is referred in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Ajata Shatru. Ajata Shatru means one who has no enemies. And he was such a soft-hearted personality that he was affected easily by sinful activities. Arjuna was not like that. Arjuna was a little bit more hard-hearted. And Arjuna was able to understand, when Krishna spoke to him, Bhagavad Gita, he was able to understand. Krishna decided to link everything together, that he knew that by taking him to Bhishma, he will get the instructions from Bhishma, and they will understand who Krishna is. If you read the 12 verses in the Bhagavadam referring to Bhishma Stuti, the first verse itself, Bhishma Pitamaha is saying to the Pandavas one thing. You have used this Supreme Lord as your servant. You have used him as your servant. He was your emissary or Duta. Yeah? He was your emissary. He was not only his emissary, he used him also as your charioteer. You have done everything to him. But look at Krishna's position. He has no thinking that somebody is superior, somebody is lower, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't think like that. But because they were devotees, Pandavas were devotees, Krishna, he decided to give them service to them and look after them and protect them in all situations. So he wanted that Yudhishthira Maharaj should hear what is dharma from Bhishma Pitamaha. So he had to set the scene for that. And that is why he put in Bhagavatam, it is said that Yudhishthira Vishada Yoga. Vishada means that moroseness, what he was experiencing. Yudhishthira Vishadam. Yudhishthira's Vishadam he was experiencing. And he was put into that situation. Then he arranged, Bhishma Pitamaha was waiting there. Pandava has already forgotten that Bhishma was lying there, ready to leave the body. But Krishna remembered in his mind, because he wanted to get to the devotee at that point. So he wanted to take them to the devotees, and from another devotee, they should hear who is Krishna. So all these things was put together. Great acharyas have commented on this in so much depth, that how Bhishma, and that particular instance, how he glorified Krishna, and how he made them understand Pandavas. It was after that the Pandavas started realizing who Krishna was. Because when Ashwatthama was killed, Ashwatthama was not actually killed, he was caught by the Krishna and Arjuna together, brought back into the front of Draupadi, and Draupadi told to let him go. But Krishna said to them that he should be killed. Bhimasena wanted to immediately take action. And Bhimasena's viewpoint was that if we don't kill him now, he will go back to the hellish planets and suffer more there. Rather, I will help him by taking an action right now. He was very much in an urgency to do that. But Panjali didn't want to do that. Panjali wanted to let him go, because she being more, little bit more intelligent and more able to understand that after all, who was Ashwatthama? Ashwatthama was Drona himself. Atma, in the Vedic literature it says the father himself comes as the son. So in reality, Ashwatthama was Drona himself, according to the Vedic tradition. So he didn't want to kill Ashwatthama in that way. She didn't want him to be killed and Ashwatthama to be left free. So it was at that point that Krishna said to Arjuna, Mattam pramattam unmattam suptam balam striyam jadam, that all these people who are mad, people who are intoxicated, people who are sleeping, people who are children, people who are women, all these things should not be killed. And he gave an instruction to Arjuna in such a way that Arjuna immediately understood the message that he is not to be killed. But at that point, Bhimasena comes in and he couldn't wait anymore. He wanted to execute his decision straight away. So even before looking for Krishna, he took the sword and wanted to punish Ashwatthama. But at that point, Krishna put his right hand on Bhimasena's shoulder and Bhimasena pulled back. He didn't go further. One step he didn't take further. Mahabharata it says, the reason for that is, during the 18-day war, on the 15th-day war, the Karna was powerful weapons were thrown at Bhimasena. And one of those astras, which nobody could protect Bhimasena from, Bhimasena said, I am a Kshatriya, I don't care. He said, and he was going to face the astra, the arrow from Karna. And at that time, Bhimasena, all the other Pandavas brought their heads down to escape from the astra, but Bhimasena wouldn't do it. Immediately, Krishna put his hand on Bhimasena's shoulder and pushed it down. And at that point, Bhimasena knew the weight of that hand, what it was. And that is why today, at that time, when Krishna put the hand again, Bhimasena didn't do anything. He pulled back straight away. So Pandavas were very much aware, but every time they have to be reminded by somebody who Krishna was. In many instances, this is how it happened. Krishna came here because Krishna's activities in this material world are very much like a human being. He performed so many miraculous activities, but some people who were devotees, they could see who Krishna was. And that is what you see in the Kunti's prayers. Kunti Devi especially mentioned that Namaste Purusham Twadyam Ishwaram Prakriti Param. After all, Kunti Devi is Krishna's father's sister, aunt. And she was able to fall down in Krishna's feet and pay the obeisances to him and call him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nobody else could have done that. That is why a person, when he is released from Maya, he sees Krishna who Krishna is. Otherwise, as long as we are in Maya, we see Krishna as another person like us. This is the difference. No, everybody was present in there. But in spite of seeing the universal form, Bhishma, Drona and others were aware who Krishna was. But even Duryodhana could not understand still who Krishna was. And he was still thinking that he could handle Krishna. So Krishna showed the universal form to give them an understanding that if he has some intelligence, let him understand who he is. But unfortunately it didn't happen. And universal form was just to avoid the war at that point. Krishna didn't need all this war. He could have finished them up then and there. But he wanted that to happen through Arjuna and through the other Pandavas. And he performed according to the standards of this world. He wanted to execute the activities. And that is why even with the universal form, no changes happened to Duryodhana. Duryodhana said he must have some yogic power. This is what Duryodhana thought about Krishna. And this is yogic activity he is performing, only to such an extent. And he had other friends in his Kauravas who could also perform some of the yogic powers. So he took it something like that, nothing different than that. Nobody could know who Krishna was at that time. Stop there. Aren't we all? that is purification. When the purification happens, that sight of that type of looking other living entities goes away in that fashion. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has given a little one verse which explains that. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, that point is explained in detail, how that will happen. Because when that will happen is not so important. How can that happen? That's more important. Vidya Vinaya Sampani Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shuni Chaiva Shobageja Pandita Samadarshina. That samadarshinam, or seeing every living entity equal, is the most important thing. How to get to that platform? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the answer is given for that. Srimad Bhagavatam says that there are so many opulences of Krishna is mentioned. Like several living entities in this world. For example, Brahmanyanam Beliswam, that means Mahabali, Bali Maharaj. He had the greatest of the Brahminical qualities, although he was a demon. But he had the greatest of the Brahminical qualities. Brahmanyanam Belistvam Kratushuju Jabayajnyosi Vireshu Pam.